Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like, sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are. Dan?
Yes, Jordan.
Dan?
Do you have a question today?
Yeah. When was the last time you yourself tortured and dismembered a journalist?
Never. I can say that
never?
I have never.
Never.
I've annoyed some journalists, certainly.
Okay.
When I went to the University of Missouri, I wrote for my campus paper, The Maneater, for 3 years, 6 semesters, while I was in college, and would routinely go to the J slums. Is the journalism?
Right.
It was the building that all the journalism students lived in, and it was like a pretty shitty apartment building. So they called it the J slums. Isn't it cool?
Sure.
Anyway, they had a bunch of parties there, and me and my buddy Nikki Gifts, he was my roommate at the time. We were a couple towny dicks. So what we would do is we would get a fifth of whiskey and a 12-pack of beers.
Yeah.
And we would split the whiskey at the house, watching mostly the same rap videos every weekend.
Right, that sounds right.
We would, I was raised in the projects by Project Pat. Good Googly Moogly by Project Pat.
Oh,
A lot of Project Pat.
A lot of Project Pat. Yeah. I already assumed that. When you go with one and then to two, the answer is 8 or 9.
Yeah. So there's a lot of Project Pat, us drinking this whiskey, and then we would take the 12-pack and go crash parties.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the time we would end up at the J slums. And, man, I don't think those people liked me much. In hindsight, I could have been much nicer. Like, I wasn't a dick to people, but I was so socially
inept.
I was gonna say unskilled. I was just there was a sense of I'm a mysterious force. I write for your paper and you don't even know who I am. And I was fucked up by the time I got there.
Of course.
It was not the best time, but still some fond memories.
So in many ways you have tortured a few journalists.
I stopped short of calling it torture.
You have not, what, that one that you waterboarded?
I didn't waterboard anybody. Although, shouldn't admit this. One time,
technically, I did dismember a guy.
One time, I did jump in the air and fart midair so I could fart on somebody.
All right. Now.
That's close to torture.
That is not torture. That is a feat.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a feat.
I was 19. I was full of piss and vinegar and drunk as hell.
Yeah.
Trying to impress Nick. And at the time.
And I assume some sort of ribs if you were in Missouri at the time.
Sure. And at the time, I didn't know anything about Alex Jones, but now I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I am back where you were back then.
Indeed.
Without the jump farting.
Right.
Can't do both of those at the same time.
Mm.
But I only know what you tell me about Alex Jones.
And about my college
and
chicanery.
And about jump farting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a thing, Mr. Mario Party.
I was innovative, man. I was innovative
in the
fart
game.
You
were ahead of your time.
Yeah. I regret that very much. I mean, I don't. It wasn't that terrible, but at the same time, it's that's very out of my personality
and
character.
No, as long as
I grew up a little bit.
As long as it's 15 years ago, that's hilarious. If you had done it in a party last week, I would be like, one, you're 34.
Yeah, you're out of control.
And two, you gotta stop dismembering people.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Jordan, today we got a really fun episode to do, but before we get to it, I would like to give a couple thank yous to people who I would never jump and fart on.
Nice!
Not at all.
Well done.
Thank you. These are people who have decided to join up and support the show, and we appreciate them oh so very much. First of all, I'd like to say thank you so much to Travis. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you very much, Travis.
Then
you're my favorite county.
Travis County in Austin?
Yeah.
Named after the great Colonel Travis. I'd also like to say thank you so much to Eric. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you very much, Eric.
Then what I'd like to do is I'd like to say thank you to someone who took their donation and bumped it up a little bit.
Before we do that,
yes,
I got to know, C or K?
What are you talking about, with Eric?
Yeah.
It's a C, but also they definitely used a fake email address.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's a .beer email address. I generally don't pay attention to people's email addresses when I get a little notification that someone has, supported the show, but that stuck out to me.
Yeah,
that's a fake email address. How about that? I thought that was charming. Not as charming, though. Nah, that's
not
fair.
There you go.
It's a push.
All right.
Equally charming to someone who has taken their donation, bumped it up a little bit. We appreciate it very much. Adam, you are now a globalist.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bop, 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 bop.
Now, Jordan, one more person to say thank you to. This is very special. It is a rare occasion around these here parts that what we get to do is we get to induct a new Raptor princess.
Whoa!
Into the fold.
What?
Someone has decided to support the show in a way that even makes me uncomfortable, but I very much appreciate. This is someone who has sent us some very nice emails in the past, and we appreciate them very much. So from the bottom of our Alex Jones and propaganda-filled hearts, we would like to say thank you so much, Chris S. You are now a Raptor princess.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people.
I renounce Jesus Christ. I know how to read.
I am out of control. You know, I've never really seen a lot of white racism in my life. I really haven't. I bet you money there are a few living black people that have been abused by white people as much as I have been abused by black people. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, both those guys were complete badasses. Complete studs.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? I'm Bernie Sanders.
Thank you so much, Chris. We appreciate it.
There's a reason we can't inaugurate a lot of Raptor princesses. It takes a lot of work. It
takes 45 seconds of listening to Alex say stupid shit. Today is Wacky Wednesday.
Hey, Wacky Wednesday.
And today we'll be going over an episode of Project Camelot. And guys, this is so very exciting. Gotta tell you, straight up, Gary Cassidy went back to Vacaville.
Uh-oh.
Went back to that prison and talked to Mark Richards. And it's time for installment 9?
Oh, man. How is this possible? What more can you
wild.
Wring out of the man?
Actually, there is some new information here. And one of the things that she...
Of course there is, Dan.
One of the sort of main goals I think that she had was to, like, run other people's stuff by him. Because
okay.
she's getting lied to by a lot of people, Eddie Page.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she wants to fact check some stuff with him, which seems like a fool's exercise,
your heart is in the right place, I guess.
I don't know if it is.
But it's the dumbest thing. But then I have to fall back on, of course there's a 9th installment. How do I even
there's
fucking
gonna be a 10th one in
a
month.
Yeah. How the fuck do I even know if she went there? If he doesn't give her any new stuff, she's just gonna make it up herself.
I'm positive that she did go because she spends about 5 minutes of this episode, which I don't have any clips of, complaining about how she was told that her outfit wasn't appropriate for prison.
Okay, fair enough. You can't make that shit up.
She's like, I'm not allowed to wear high heels because that's considered a weapon. But then I get inside and I see other people in high heels. I'm like, yeah, maybe that's okay when they're not talking to a fucking murderer. Like, maybe he's on a much higher standard of security, possibly.
Or maybe they've seen you talk to this guy 8 other times and they're like, this isn't for anybody but you. Mm-hmm. We're worried you're going to hurt yourself with those shoes.
It's possible.
Because, lady, you are fucking nuts.
And this would be the place to do it if you want to really make it count.
Yeah.
So Jordan, we have got installment 9 of what Carrie calls, Carrie Cassidy, the host of Project Camelot, she calls Total Recall. Because, as we all know, just to lay a little bit of track, she goes and interviews Mark Richards in prison because he killed a guy or was involved in a murder. Orchestrated a murder.
He made sure that a man was alive and then was very shortly not alive.
Who mysteriously owed him money and he took a safe
crazy.
From him. And
he was off planet, Dan.
He was off planet. So she goes and...
I'm waiting for that to be Prince, now I can't remember. Salman, I'm
Muhammad
waiting for that to...
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that to be his like, no, Saudi Arabia was off planet at the time.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Works.
Yeah.
So she's not allowed to use a recorder when she goes and interviews Mark. She's allowed to sometimes have a pencil, sometimes a crayon, and she writes down the answers that he gives her to bizarre, stupid questions, and we get to enjoy. I'll say this, Jordan. I sort of referenced this as you came into the apartment today, and that was that, like, I worried that we wouldn't be able to do an episode when I was listening to this earlier. And one of the reasons was I was like, this kinda is boring as shit.
Oh.
I was like, this is a little bit boring. But then I listened back to it again and I was like, oh, I missed a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So thankfully it was just my first, You know, sometimes you read a book first time through, it doesn't grab you.
Right.
Second read, you start to realize some of the nuances.
Right. That's how literally everyone feels about a separate piece.
I don't know anything about a separate piece.
All
Maybe
right,
start
I can tell
podcast.
You about it. Yeah. it would be a very boring podcast your first listen.
But second time.
Second time would be great. New theory. Before we go any further. New theory. All right. The prison itself, zero limitations on what sort of recording devices that you are allowed to use.
Okay.
Mark Richards is fucking with her, and he has convinced a few of the guards to go along with it.
That is a possibility. I'm not sure. I did actually find the prison that he's in, and I looked at their, like, visiting rules.
Uh-huh.
And it's not specified either way.
Yeah.
About whether or not you can have a pencil or pen or anything like that. But it's not, pencils and pens are not listed in the approved materials.
Fair.
But it's also not listed in, like, restricted materials.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I can't say either way. Anyway. We start this episode, as we start every Project Camelot episode, with Carrie's introduction to her episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot.
Hi, Carrie.
I am here today to go over the notes from my recent interview with Captain Mark Richards of the Secret Space Program.
Grandson of the Dutchman.
Son of the Dutchman.
Oh, he's son of the Dutchman.
Although we do learn, I believe, in this next clip that his grandfather was also in the Secret Space Program.
Oh, of course. Well, of course.
He may not have...
Family business.
He may not have a fun nickname. Now, I understand that a lot of people who are listening to the show might not have listened to our past adventures with Mark Richards. Captain Mark Richards, excuse me.
Yeah.
So they may not know a lot of what's going on here. And thankfully, at the beginning of this episode, before she gets into it, Carrie gives a little bit of a breakdown of some of the relevant information you need to know about Senor Richards.
I recently went to interview Captain Mark Richards, who has been involved in the Secret Space Program since he was a young child, actually. And his father was also involved, as well as his grandfather, if I understand it correctly. And his father was known as the Dutchman. He was quite famous in those secret
multiple times.
Space program circles, if you want to call it that, the military,
hung out with Churchill,
as well as in the British, in Britain with the British and
Churchill.
They hung out with Churchill.
Mark has a long history, as I say, with regard to the Secret Space Program. He basically grew up in it.
Basically, he grew up in it. He's like the Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Why is that the only child actor?
I have no idea why that happened.
Because he grew up in show business, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah, but you could have gone with Ron Howard.
You bet.
Ron Howard has a continuously great career. Much like the Dutchman.
Mark Richards absolutely doesn't have a continuous awesome career.
Then you know what? He is a lot like JTT.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe it's subconsciously.
He was a star in his youth, and now he's slowly fading away.
So other things, Carrie's sort of really underselling this, just saying that Mark Richards has been involved in the Secret Space Program since he was a kid. He also, like we referenced, he has a sentient spaceship named Minerva that he can fly around in. He is married to a lady named Joanne Richards who goes around and gives speeches on his behalf.
I forgot that is an actual real person.
It is.
I always forget that Joanne Richards is like just a human being and not part of the grand mythology.
Nope,
of like,
she real.
I am also married to Minerva and she has a hole. Like, I'm waiting for that.
What I can confirm is that she's a CPA. That's about it.
Huh.
The rest of this stuff is I think she's being tricked by her husband who's in prison.
Is she a good CPA?
No idea. We'll never find out.
I think we need to hire her.
So there's a whole lot to his mythology.
For our accounting. You know how we have so much accounting Tons. We need to do.
So there's a lot to Mark Richards' mythology. But the most important thing that you need to know is that in 1984 he went to prison because he orchestrated the murder of a guy who owed him money.
Mm.
He got two kids who worked at his tire shop, I believe.
Something along those lines.
I don't remember exactly what the business was, but associates that he knew from that, he offered them $5,000 and a car, a getaway car, presumably, to go kill this guy. And he was supposedly there when the murder was committed, and they killed this guy with a hammer. So
it seems like it should cost more than that, and yet it never does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a real assassin works really cheap, you know?
It turns out it's not a function of the job that needs to be done. It's a function of the desperateness of the person you're trying to get to do the job.
Yeah, exactly.
You could get your lawn mowed for like $200 by a professional crew, or $3 to the neighbor kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's
and
that sort
you can,
of thing.
I mean, for $200, you could convince the neighbor kid to kill the professional lawn crew.
It's possible.
Yeah, take over the business. Yeah. They owed you money.
So we know from living in reality that Mark Richards straight up did that shit. Unfortunately, Carrie doesn't believe that.
Of course not.
As far as I'm concerned, he is one of the best whistleblowers out there. The fact that he is in prison and has been for over 30 years is what the powers that be considered to be sufficient enough to discredit him so that he will not be believed. So he is at liberty to tell me quite a bit of information that you can't get anywhere else.
So this is how we work the this sort of rationale in here. He's in prison. He's been discredited so much that it doesn't matter if he tells the truth to Carrie. No one's going to believe him because he's a fucking murderer who's in prison anyway. So the powers that be are like, go ahead, say whatever you want, big guy. Have fun there in that prison.
All I'm saying is, even if he had murdered zero people and were free.
Right.
If he were talking to Carrie, that would be enough to discredit him.
I would say so. I mean, yeah.
There's a low bar for Carrie.
We've gone through plenty of episodes with Carrie talking to people who aren't in prison, and I find them discredited.
Now, I will say I have a hard time believing that any of her guests are not eligible for prison. Do you know what I mean? Like, if anybody really wanted to look into it, every single person she has on
tax crimes.
At least 6 months in prison would be the low level guest of hers.
Almost all of them, I would say, have maybe a civil fraud case.
Yeah,
that they're
at least
that they're
a fraud
due
case.
For.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that means they go to prison, but they all should be sued by somebody.
Somebody.
I'm not sure who, but yeah, somebody yeah. should sue everybody. So anyway, Mark is guilty of this orchestrating a murder, but turns out he's not.
He is innocent of the crime he's in for, and as I say, he spent over 30 years paying for a crime he didn't commit. And he is
the one-armed man.
Just for some context, he's been in prison like 2 months shorter than I've been alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So back when I was jumping and farting on people, he was 19 years into his prison sentence. Let that give you some context.
Sure.
Said to be the mastermind of two other people who actually committed the murder, one of whom got off, I guess, by ratting on the other one.
He cut a deal because he was like, oh my God, I'm going to be in prison for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I didn't actually kill that guy. I was involved. I will cut a deal. Very common.
He's a rat.
As well as Mark. And then now this guy, whose name is Crossan David Hoover, apparently is talking to a journalist who's a radio talk show host in Britain who has decided to make a documentary supporting the murderer against Mark Richards. And you kind of have say to yourself, why would this person do this? But nonetheless, that's what's
happening. So many reasons?
I would say.
So many reasons.
I would say.
There's so many reasons.
I would say one of the biggest reasons is that Mark promised them that they would be knights of a new Camelot after the murder ended up taking over Marin County. So yeah. I would say that that's a great reason to make that documentary. That's a crazy
crazy fucking story.
It's amazing. I can't wait for that documentary. I would love to hear what he told
me. I'm going
to
watch the shit out of that documentary.
I would love to hear these kids' perspective, like what they experienced. You know?
So did Mark Richards give an interview to that guy?
No.
Come
good
on.
God, no.
He has to have. Why not? He's throwing caution to the wind.
Well, to be fair, in the next clip, Carrie will explain that Mark can't talk about his legal issues and the documentary
because
issues.
There are so many appeals withstanding?
Well, kind of.
Mark Richards has been working with a lawyer. He and his wife
He's
to
always
get
been
a
working
commutation
with a lawyer.
of his sentence, which
Except
is long
before
overdue.
Before he was murdering people.
And this sort of happening on the side is not a good thing, obviously. To have a filmmaker want to make a documentary that is supposed to be a negative influence, I guess, on the public attitude towards Mark. But nonetheless, what's happening now is that they are not able to talk to anyone about the case simply because they are involved with a lawyer in getting a commutation of his sentence. And hopefully that will happen.
Sure.
Doubt it.
Good luck.
Doubt it.
Good luck there, Marky.
Doubt it.
Come on, Richards. You better have the funky bunch as your lawyers.
He has life without parole.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the guy who committed the murder has the possibility of being paroled.
Right.
So I would say.
Cause he was just a guy and Mark Richards is a fucking psychopath.
Yeah. I think the facts of the case bore out in such a way that like, who's the most dangerous here? Who has the potential for rehabilitation? I would say it's scarier that the kid actually was the one who did the murder. That's scary. You would think that that should come with a heavier sentence.
Yeah, but, like a jump fart.
But at the same time, I think that it's probably pretty reasonable at this point, 30 years later, 34 years later, if that kid, now an adult, has rehabilitated himself, he's not going to commit another murder unless another Mark Richards gets him to.
Yeah.
And he's not going to do that because he was an impressionable kid at that point. So, like, the idea that that kid could get out and Mark can't, I'm fine with. Although, at the same time, I don't like the prison system, so I'm a little conflicted.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I would need to know so much more about I know one character involved.
Dude.
Who should not be allowed to get out of prison. That's Mark Richards.
I was trying to look into this prison, too, because I was like, I bet this is like a cakewalk prison that Mark is in. I bet it's... And man,
no way. No way is it a cakewalk prison.
The only story I could find was from a couple years back. There was like a big fight that broke out in the prison.
12 died.
In the aftermath, they found a guy who was cut in half.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
You can't even do that.
He was cut in
half. It's hard to cut a guy in half.
Totally. Especially in prison.
It's a whole process. What is this?
Totally.
What is this? The Saudi embassy? It's tough to cut a guy in half.
Guy was cut in half and stuffed in like some trash, disposal things.
Well, that's
like trying
smart.
To hide the body.
Yeah.
But then also in the investigation, they found a couple of his organs were missing. And from the articles I could find,
they were sold?
I didn't look.
Somebody sold
I didn't look too deeply into this because I'm sure there's a resolution somewhere, but the stories that I were reading was like, no one knows what happened to those organs.
How do you not know?
What?
Who is
how do those organs get out of
this? Who is smuggling a fucking cooler shit. In and out of a prison fight for a... All right.
It was...
Guys, here's our plan. We're going to sell a liver, a kidney, and fuck it, why not, 40 feet of intestine. But we got to start a huge prison fight.
Right.
We got to cut a guy in half using homemade shivs.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get a cooler. This is Ocean's 11, but in a prison.
It was one
with the guy who gets cut in half.
I've watched a fair amount of like Lock Up and this story was like, what the fuck? I was like, I want to learn more about this, but it's so tangentially related to the work I'm supposed to be doing that I'm going to. I'll look into that later, but like, that's the prison that Mark's in where a dude got cut in half. Like, no, that's a bad prison.
Yeah, no, that's where he belongs.
I kind of get wanting to pretend and imagine and fantasize about the idea you're going to have your sentence commuted though, if you're living in that sort of, like, Mark was at that prison when that happened.
Yeah.
That's in his consciousness. Like, that's terrifying.
Who did it?
I don't know.
I'll tell you who did it. The fucking lieutenant.
No.
Yeah. At Mark Richards' behest, because Minerva actually feeds off of organs. She was fucking running low on fuel.
Theory.
Needed a few organs, and he was like, listen, I can't get my hands all over this.
Right.
Lieutenant, whom I have only spoken of one time, have never brought up again or before, you gotta cut a guy in half.
I was praying, not praying, I guess, it wouldn't make me happy, but I was kind of interested, am I going to recognize any of the players in this article? Like the guy who died or the suspects? Am I going to know who these people are because of Project Camelot?
It's a concerning thought.
Yeah, but turns out it's unrelated to Mark Richards, apparently. But related because, it's the same place.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah.
Real fucked up.
It's like I'm more interested now in like being called to deposition. For his commutation sentence or his commutation hearing where it's like, we have brought in two random ass guys who have talked about, Mark Richards a lot. Do you guys feel like he should be? Well, I suppose we have to have a follow-up. Why do you? All right. Testimony accepted.
There wouldn't be a commutation hearing because there's no hearing. It's just the governor would decree it or something like that. But it's not even going to come to that, Jordan.
Right.
He doesn't need to have his sentence commuted because Carrie knows something.
Oh, God, she does.
Carrie knows something.
I don't know what it is.
She's gotten some information from a source about the future of Mark Richards.
Now, for those of you that know that I've interviewed Simon Parks many times and recently.
He's the guy, if you don't recall, used to be a council person in the UK who would two or three times a year would leave planet and have sex with an alien.
Yeah. Well, again, by far the most heroic character on Project Camelot.
The sanest of the crazies.
Yeah, of course.
And more than once, he has said that Mark Richards will likely be pardoned very soon. By
sure.
Trump,
why not?
As a result, or after what is it, basically the indictments that are going through right now. So the indictments are being pursued. There's something like 40,000 to 50,000. And, according to Simon Parks, once those happen, Mark Richards will be.
All right.
Carrie believes in QAnon.
All right.
That's QAnon shit, baby.
Is it?
Yep.
What?
One of the big bases of QAnon's conspiracy and the reason that people are, get excited about it is the part of the narrative is that the Justice Department, has secretly filed 40, 50,000, sealed indictments
sure.
that are just ready to go. And that's why they keep making all these stories up about, like, Hillary Clinton's fleeing the country before these indictments get unsealed because she knows she's going away forever.
Sure, that sounds
right. Once
they
get unsealed.
That sounds like the justice system.
Sure. So that's a big, big piece of the QAnon stuff.
QAnon.
Yep.
Still happening.
Carrie,
keeping
it alive.
People are still doing it.
These indictments are going to come down. They're going to roll up all the evil forces in government, and then there'll only be good people there.
That doesn't sound right.
And in part of that, Trump is going to pardon Mark Richards for some reason.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Because he knows about the secret space program.
Right, but
he knows.
But why would you pardon him?
Trump knows. That's why he's doing Space Force, and fucking Mark Richards is going to be the head of it.
All right. Well, one thing I will say.
He's the only good one.
One thing I will say. Now that I know a guy has been cut in half in that prison, I kind of am fine with the no pens or pencils.
Yeah, and stilettos.
Yeah, I'm fine with all of those rules.
Yeah.
You know what, you guys, you do your thing.
You had a guy dissected crayons from
yeah,
now on.
Crayons from now on.
That's totally reasonable. Unreasonable, though, to think that QAnon stuff is true and that somehow it's going to intersect with Mark Richards.
It's still going on. People are still into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't people just stop? After a
it's
while.
It's tough. It's tough, man. It's
like,
tough.
We get so distracted by so many other narratives. Why are you sticking with this one? Let it go. Move on.
Well, because a lot of people get tricked. And so there is there's an ego aspect to it that, like, if you buy into it.
Oh, yeah.
Then
later
being like, that was all bullshit. Then you're going to have to admit to yourself, like, I got tricked by bullshit.
Right. The Republican Party.
Sure. And then there's a second aspect too, much like this is also applicable to the Republican Party, is that, like, lost time fallacy. That sort of idea of, like,
right.
I've put a year into studying this QAnon
right.
stuff. That time is wasted if I now decide it's all full of shit.
Sunk cost. Yeah,
yeah exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
People get, they're very susceptible to those sorts of things. So I think that a lot of people who should see the light and be like, this is all nonsense, they won't. They won't because those forces.
It's QAnon sense.
Yeah.
New term coined.
That's a musical.
Puppets?
A 28.
I'm going to have to go with puppets on this one.
A 2018 reimagining of nonsense.
Okay. All right. I'm listening.
It's just nonsense.
Not a direct sequel.
Nope. It's just nonsense, but it's all about these sealed indictments and Trump saying it's a calm before the storm and everybody losing their fucking
mind.
All right. That.
I see a little bit of Mamma Mia in there too. Mm-hmm. I think there should be three suitors.
No. Jerome Corsi is the main character of this. We see it
too
through
boring.
But he's an interesting conduit to tell the story because
okay.
he was so into it and then it turned against him and then he's like, it's all bullshit. So he would be an interesting protagonist because his journey.
He's the audience stand-in.
He's the only person who has a journey.
Right. He grows and
yeah.
changes.
Yeah.
He has the crisis point
sure.
somewhere along the line.
Sure.
Just like that fucking nun.
When the 4chan post started saying, sure, of course he's full of shit. And he's like, oh my God.
They personally attacked me.
I was just trying to harmonize. I thought you were going to go for another line.
Nah, I was going to let that one go.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, Carrie went to the prison to go talk to Mark, but you should know.
Yes.
That this wasn't the only interview that she had planned.
It's also important that people realize or are aware that I went to interview someone else this time as well on my way. But that person who had originally been interested in doing an interview with me suddenly backed out. And what happened was, I think he must have been intimidated.
Nope.
He suddenly acted as though he barely knew me.
Makes sense.
And, so that
maybe other
when
people
I arrived
were around.
In his vicinity, he was no longer available. And on top of it, he said he quote unquote, knows nothing about the secret space.
No, nothing.
Even if he did, it would be
all right, Colonel Clink.
To divulge anything about it.
Captain Mark and Colonel
which
Clink.
Which is tantamount to saying that it's real.
No, it's
and
not!
And basically that
no,
he does know
not.
Something. So, but that he's no longer able to talk. So, he said, this is not the time for in-person interviews, for in-person discussions, and so on and so forth. So this is what was going on. So it's very interesting because this is a very tense time. It's quite an exciting time, a time when the Trump administration, the people that are backing him,
not like
basically the military, these indictments are coming through. There's 40,000 to 50,000, as they
Name
say.
One.
And in theory, they're actually pursuing them as I speak.
In theory. In reality, she's just sort of combining sort of Alex Jones's mythology with QAnon there.
Yeah.
It's talking about the military being
sure.
on the side of these patriots
sure.
and what have you. And then throwing in the QAnon sealed indictments shit. It is a very exciting time to be alive when you're into this stuff. A year from now is not going to be that exciting when
no.
your narrative hasn't evolved at all.
No.
The same thing. It's like 2012, end of 2012 was probably incredibly exciting for Carrie.
Oh, for sure. Beginning, you had the whole lead up. You could do the whole thing. And
beginning
then it's
of 2013
like,
was probably tough. That was a hangover. You had a little
gotta,
bit of like a,
oh boy, we got to start from scratch. I guess we got to do the whole thing all over again, guys.
So Carrie thinking that she's going to go interview someone and the guy being like, no, that doesn't seem suspicious to me at all for myriad reasons.
No, I'm pretty sure that confirms everything that Mark Richard says is true.
One of the reasons this doesn't even raise any alarms for me is, remember back on that episode where she was interviewing the guy who works at a bus station who takes pictures of the moon?
Yeah.
And she thought that she'd confirmed the time of the interview and then got on air and was like, I don't know where he is.
He had a telescope, though.
Sure. But I'm talking about the professionalism of setting up the interviews.
Right.
She clearly didn't confirm the time on that. There's a decent chance she just showed up at somebody's place and was like, this isn't time. I'm not
that actually, that actually makes perfect sense.
It seems to follow her lack of professionalism
yeah.
vis-a-vis these interviews.
No, you said we were going to record an interview. Yeah, we didn't agree on a fucking time, lady. Don't
this,
show up at my goddamn house.
This is not the time for in-person interviews.
I have children who think I'm normal.
There's 100 different possibilities
yeah.
and none of them in the real world are this guy is fucking scared because we're talking truth here.
See, the only way I could think that she has any kind of option there is if it was another guy in the same prison.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the lieutenant.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like it could have been the lieutenant and they were in the same prison and he was like, listen, I'm not authorized to talk to you.
I'm not good at improv.
Exactly. My eyebrow waggle suggesting that whatever it is you said was true is not up to par.
Exactly.
Because my response is going to be like, come on, man, that's stupid.
So there is a fundamental problem with Carrie's interview that she does with Mark today. And that is, she sort of teased it at the end of that last clip. She's talking about these are crazy times.
Yes.
And in this next clip, she introduces the idea that the times are so crazy that Mark maybe can't talk about some of it.
Sure.
Mark says because it's such a heightened time, he was not able to talk about certain things with me. He has been instructed on what to say and what not to say.
He does not have the internet.
He is still working with the military. He is a captain in the secret space program.
Cool, cool, cool. That's
in the Navy.
Rank.
And he is.
And the Navy?
No longer reporting to Bobby Ray Inman, he says. Bobby Ray Inman is no longer involved, is how he put it. He is now
I'd like to say that I think that that's code for someone called Bobby Ray Inman.
Reporting to a different sector of the U.S. military, a division that he's not at liberty to disclose.
Good, cool, cool.
Great. He said one of the reasons he is able to talk, obviously, and other people may be more hesitant to do so, is that he is in prison and obviously has this disclaimer, which is in essence sort of a credibility issue.
No shit it is.
Well, first off, now I've really finally come to the conclusion that none of this is real. Because
finally,
because the secret
welcome
space
aboard
the secret space program and the Navy have had a long-standing bitter rivalry. They have been playing space football games every year, and they've never been able to handle it. So the Navy hates the SSP, and the SSP hates the Navy. You can't be a captain in both.
This makes me think of Howard Kramer, the comedian Howard Kramer, who loves summer.
You gotta get yourself a summer gum, dude.
He has that whole thing about, like, he hates movies that are in space because he likes the ocean. Like that, when you're talking about the secret space program and the Navy being at loggerheads, it's like, that's just a Howard Kramer bit. Mark Richards is living a Howard Kramer bit.
Yeah, that actually sounds right.
He's bringing the two together. He's synthesizing them.
Oh, man, if you get attacked by an octopus, you just punch it in the face.
Got to. So, I love, first of all, I think that he has needed to get the specifics out of some of his story lest people look into them.
Right, because he doesn't have the internet.
Now he's reporting to a military organization that he can't name, which is good. That should have been the case all along.
Yeah, of course.
That should have been. I don't know why he would ever say specifics about that sort of thing, because this is a load of hot bullshit.
That must have been for Carrie, that must have been like the best moment where she's like, thank you! If you don't give specifics, I don't have to defend any of your bullshit.
This is so
much
easier.
This is why I've been in the problem in the first place.
Right, right.
Everybody's saying they know shit, and then they're using names, and then you can look it up. That guy brought me shit from a fucking video game. Don't tell me the name of your military organization.
Eddie Page is like, the Pleiadian mothership is from this video. Now I've got to say that the makers of the video game know about Pleiadians.
God damn it. Why are you changing my narrative?
Why are you making this so complicated?
I'm Carrie the curator, okay? I'm not here trying to defend shit.
Now look, Jordan. I know that we come from a position of assuming that Mark Richards is lying, because he is. But you should know.
It's a strong position to start from, at least.
But you should know something about him.
What?
He basically told me he would always tell me the truth, but if there were ongoing operations that were being conducted by his side or the side that involves the Raptors and the military that he reports to, he would obviously not be revealing things that could endanger their operations. And he wanted me to know that.
You better know that. Mark Richards isn't going to give up some sort of information that jeopardizes the precious Raptor forces. How dare you assume? I'm going to lie to you if it jeopardizes the Raptors.
Think about what The Intercept did to Reality Winner, huh?
Exactly.
Come on. We can't be doing that to the Raptors.
Raptor or not, Reality Winner did not deserve that kind of treatment. And Mark Richards would agree with me on that. I'm positive about it.
What sentence? What is the sentence that could do it? You know?
What do you mean?
Like, if the sentence you say to Carrie Cassidy is, I will never lie to you.
Right.
First off, that should be disqualifying, but continue. We're going to continue with the sentence. The sentence is, I will never lie to you, but I will not divulge information regarding the sensitive Raptor operations that are ongoing.
I generally find that people who make unnecessary, just sort of out of nowhere blanket statements about things they won't do usually are overcompensating a little bit. It
maybe.
Usually feels like they're talking to themselves.
Right.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's just something I've felt over the course of my life. I don't know. Maybe Mark Richards is trying to tease her. Like, I am lying to you. That's what I feel. That's 100% what I feel.
He's trying to thin that knife's edge where it's like, I could lie to her on a lazier level and it would never bother me.
Never.
But there's no excitement there.
No.
There's nothing there.
It's the thrill of the hunt.
I need to be found out. I'm like a serial killer. Part of my whole thing is I want to be caught.
Why kill a rabbit that can't hurt you?
Right.
When you could kill a fucking tiger, right?
I guess.
It's the excitement of the danger. I might lose this one.
Yeah.
He's like Icarus. He's flying too close to the sun. Be like, I'd never fucking lie to you.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. But
I want to see, there's a new documentary out about this guy who, free climbs.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that.
No, I don't want to see that shit at all. That's the end of the synopsis.
That makes me so uncomfortable. I can't handle that footage.
Like the whole documentary is everybody on the, like he's free climbing this
up
incredibly.
Like
no.
Oh.
Up like this rock that's
even
essentially
worse.
Unclimbable.
Even
like
worse.
It's this 3,000 feet. It's crazy. No safety harnesses or at all.
Does he have a GoPro on?
The biggest thing about the movie, though, is like the camera crew being like, is it okay for us to film a guy and he might fall and die? Is that okay?
I think it's okay. He would have done it anyway.
We're kind of encouraging him, though, by doing this. Do we share any fault here?
Does he have a GoPro on? Because that's going to be whether or not I see this movie.
I don't know. It's probably super intense, though.
Because
I bet you're going to be on the edge of your seat, Dan.
I've seen those videos that people post of them, like, climbing up buildings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And jumping from ledges, like, hundreds of feet in the air.
Yeah.
Like, hundreds of floors in the air. And
right.
That GoPro footage, I feel it in my teeth.
Yeah.
Like, it makes
me
so fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah, your mirror neurons fire in a way that you can't comprehend.
So if it's a documentary that triggers that, pass.
Okay.
I pass on that.
But then again,
I liked Man on Wire. That was good.
But
that also wasn't GoPro
footage. Yeah. I will tell you this right now. You shouldn't see this movie. You shouldn't see this movie. From the slightest bit I've seen and read about it, it's like, hey, have you ever had your balls drop way later in life?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
I'll let you be excited about that documentary, and I will continue to be excited about the fact that there's a Luigi's Mansion coming out on the Switch sometime next year.
I wasn't a big fan of the original.
So good.
It was on Super Nintendo, right?
Nope, GameCube.
Oh.
It was the launch title on the GameCube.
I just don't like ghosts.
Oh, I love that Luigi's
wasn't
Mansion
he,
so much.
Wasn't
it had such
he
a different
dead?
Functionality. No.
Mario is dead.
Oh, Mario
Somebody
got
was dead.
Kidnapped by King Boo. And put into a painting.
Oh, that sounds right.
And then Luigi had to go around this house and find a bunch of money.
That makes more sense than what Mark Richards is saying.
I love Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
I will not apologize for
it. Okay.
Anyway, in this next clip.
Yes.
We find one of the first instances of Mark having something he can't talk about that Carrie brings up. And then Carrie spins a little bit of a yarn about it. And guess what? This is one of those things that I can actually tell you the truth about on the other end of this clip.
Hey!
We talked about then the sun, and he said this was an area he could not talk to me about.
Talk about the sun.
Or couldn't say much about.
It's too bright!
We did talk about the New Mexico Observatory that has been closed.
I don't even know where it is!
That story is very well known at this point. A lot of misleading stuff in the mainstream media and also in the alternative. A lot of people not getting the real story behind it. I have had some very excellent source material on this coming from a secret witness who, could say infiltrated that sort of the back channel chatter going on at the observatories. There were seven others around the world that were also closed down. So the whole FBI raid does not hold water. The FBI were simply the sort of, dog and pony show that you were supposed to be misled by.
Sounds right.
What the information I got was from this sort of secret source.
Was that before or after they killed
which
Fred
I
Hampton?
Did disclose to Mark. So we're kind of having this, trading of information more to the point of what really goes on when I talk to Mark. But at any rate, what happened was with the Solar Observatory in New Mexico and the other observatories, they were attempting
solar?
To use a kind
Stop
of superluminal technology, which is called possibly based on quantum mechanics.
So
possibly based on quantum. Come on, man. If you're going to do any futuristic technology,
you gotta jump to quantum computers.
Right.
That's where we're, that's the vanguard of existence right now. You can't say possibly based on quantum mechanics, everything.
Yeah.
If you're gonna go sci-fi now, you gotta jump to quantum computing.
Well, but you also need to have an explanation of what the fuck you mean, and she doesn't have an explanation. She, that's where her explanation of this ends.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Could be quantum mechanics.
And she said that, like, she started the sentence by saying there's this technology that was being used that's called, it might use quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
And that's bad. That's,
there's this theory about strings.
So.
You ever hear of it?
So I don't know if you know about this, Jordan, but this is something that Carrie has brought up in a couple of episodes that I've deemed not worth talking about. There was the National Solar Observatory in New Mexico that got shut down mysteriously. Do you know about this? Have you heard about this?
No.
It's interesting.
Is it because they finally found the sun?
Yep. No more need for this. It's up there.
We got to stop looking for this shit. It's been there the whole time.
Hey, guys, it's up. So Carrie's version of the story...
Dan, the enemy's gate is down.
Carrie's version of the story is that the National Solar Observatory in Sunspot, New Mexico, was closed down, along with many others, as she brought up there in that clip, seven others, due to something to do with an unnamed and unexplained mysterious technology that may or may not involve quantum mechanics. As is pretty much always the case on Project Camelot, Carrie's reality is far more fun than the actual reality. From the Washington Post, quote, what appears to have triggered the observatory's complete shutdown was a janitor who had allegedly been using the observatory's Wi-Fi to download and distribute child pornography, according to newly unsealed court documents.
Wait, no.
Yep.
What?
The janitor was distributing child pornography.
That's the unnamed technology?
No. That's the conspiracy theory that she's cooked up about the idea National Solar Observatory was closed. It's the way she and the conspiracy community online explained the closure of this place. But in reality, when all the dust settled and all the details were able to come out, it turned out a janitor was fucking distributing child pornography on their Wi-Fi.
That was it?
Well, there's more to it.
Okay. That's fucked up, though.
Like, yeah, it's
pretty fucked up. There are zero... That's fucked up all across the board. What?
Yep. This is according to newly unsealed court documents. In July, FBI agents investigating child sexual exploitation traced the location of several IP addresses linked to child pornography activity to the observatory,
according
to a 39-page search warrant application. During an interview with federal authorities on August 21st of this year, the facility's chief observer said that he had found, on a number of occasions, the same laptop hidden and running in various seldom-used offices around the observatory. He described the contents of the laptop as, quote, not good, according to court documents.
That really sums it up.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not good.
I looked on that laptop. It is not good.
If you're investigating child pornography and your diagnosis is not good,
I can
assume that in my world, that's the single worst thing that could possibly happen.
Totally. But I can understand why the chief observer of this solar observatory, the guy in charge of the place, might not want to utter such words or something like that. I can understand someone using that sort of colloquialism when they know that they're talking to the authorities and the authorities are going to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, like saying, it wasn't good.
In that
context, I get the euphemism.
Peripheral vision only. Ooh, no good. Please, no.
Sure.
Take it away from my eyes forever, please.
So after this happened, when the chief observer went and spoke to the authorities, a federal agent was dispatched to investigate.
Yeah.
And he ended up taking that laptop, and it was found in one of the seldom used offices that, was mentioned by the chief observer. Quote, the day after the laptop was seized, the janitor was allegedly seen by the chief observer leaving the office where it had been found. The janitor asked the chief observer, who relayed the interaction to federal agents, if anyone had entered the office because the cleaning supplies he had left there were missing. Later, the janitor claimed, quote, someone had been entering the observatory late at night in order to steal the wireless internet service and expressed concerns about lax security, court documents reported. So, what you see here very clearly
That guy wasn't even fucking trying.
From the
documentary. Come on, you can do better than I left my cleaning supplies in there.
Someone stole my mop.
Yeah.
So you can clearly see from the documented chain of events, this janitor is realizing that someone's onto him, and he's trying to stealthily cover his tracks. This anxiety soon turns into outright panic. Again, from the Washington Post. Quote, then the janitor's actions allegedly became even more bizarre, prompting the observatory staff to become worried about their own safety. Aside from continuing to feverishly search the facility, the documents state that the janitor said, quote, it's only a matter of time before the facility got hit. And then he, quote, believed there was a serial killer in the area, and he was fearful that the killer might enter the facility and execute somebody. Because of his erratic behavior and his references to the potential murder of someone at the facility, the management of the Solar Observatory decided to shut the facility down and evacuated their employees for their own safety. The FBI did not make that decision, and in fact, it might have worked against their interests as they were still engaged in an active investigation.
Right.
Everyone online misrepresented and misreported the event as the FBI shutting down the observatory. And because it was an active investigation, no one in the know was willing to officially comment on it until much later, basically until mid-September when the story started to break.
Right.
When people were able to start talking about it.
Right. So the reality is, the guy shut down the observatory because he was like...
Not just him, but like the people in charge decided...
No, that's what I'm saying.
This janitor who we know was doing this not good stuff.
Right. I'm not saying the janitor shut it down. I they shut it down because this janitor is literally going like, hey, people are going to get murdered if we don't all fucking deal with this. And the FBI...
You kind of think that might be...
Because he's going to murder people.
You don't know that for sure, but you can't take risks in that sort of situation when you know that someone has been using bootlegged Wi-Fi in order to distribute child pornography. They start acting super erratically when it's clear that the jig is up.
Right.
And they start talking about the possibility that someone is going to be murdered. Because there's a serial killer in the area that's going to break in after he has said, oh, someone has been breaking in at night and using the Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
He's already used that to sort of get a, like, hey, it wasn't me. It was someone else who broke in. Now he's using that someone's going to break in and kill people. It is not super crazy to think that reads like a threat.
Right. Of course. And the FBI, of course, as you pointed out, probably didn't want that
to happen. Yeah.
Because it would only, like, if they left it open.
Let him get another laptop.
Exactly.
In
let him
catch
hang
him
himself.
In the act
exactly.
While we're observing.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's already probably enough information and evidence in order to fucking nail him. But, at the same time, it would be much easier in a controlled environment to allow him to be under surveillance and commit the crime that he was already committing. In order to make the case that much easier.
Man, and this guy is in Arizona?
No, New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
Still, not far away from the border.
Sure.
You should have just bailed.
Could have.
You should have just run.
So, during that in-between time from when...
Not that I want that guy to get away. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Kill him.
You can't stop yourself from expressing decent strategy. That's all. Whether it's for villains or heroes, well, here's the way out of this one. Run!
I should be a consultant on any crime.
An amoral consultant. Let's start a lobbying firm.
That's what we should have done in the beginning.
Totally. So during this in-between time from when the people in charge of the Solar Observatory shut it down for their employees' safety and the time when the truth and the story started to come out, when the FBI had enough evidence at their disposal that they could talk about, and people were given the clearance to comment in interviews, like the chief observer of the observatory.
Right.
During that in-between time, various highly credible, high-level anonymous sources and internet bullshitters started spinning their fanciful tales that the FBI shut down the place because they had spotted real aliens, and this was a huge cover-up. Even outlets like Zero Hedge got in on the act, reporting about the closure as if it was somehow suspicious. Along the way, it was pointed out that a bunch of other webcams of observatories were offline around the same time. So it must be a smattering of solar observatory closures, probably because they had spotted a giant sunspot that was going to destroy the world, and they didn't want that info getting out.
Right.
Which is kind of what Carrie is expressing in her theory when she's bringing up all of these other places that were closed. She's not willing to be super specific with it, and that's fine. The online conspiracies were primarily initially about the idea that they had found real aliens.
Right.
And then secondarily, once it became clear that there were a bunch of other webcams that were down of other observatories, it was like they're trying to hide something from us that they found.
Right.
It went away from being just about aliens, and then it became about the idea that they had found some...
the world-destroying event that was... Yeah.
Exactly.
That was promised by Cthulhu.
Right. So whoever pointed this out, the observation of all these webcams being down.
Yeah.
Whoever pointed that out failed to also point out that on the front page of the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory website, where you find all of these webcams, there's an announcement prominently displayed. Quote, "We are updating the code infrastructure that provides access to SOHO data, images, and movies. We expect the work to take several weeks."
Bullshit.
They were updating their website.
Can't trust them.
And thus, access to streaming from webcams was not functional.
Fat bears!
Temporarily and completely unrelated to the situation in New Mexico.
Great.
So what you have there is the confluence of, again, it's all intentional misunderstandings of information you could find. Like, immediately in the aftermath of the New Mexico Solar Observatory being closed, you couldn't have found that information because it was being kept really tight.
Right.
Because they were trying to get this fucking janitor.
Right.
Because think about what you could roll up with that. Who are you in business with?
Yeah.
You know, there is a possibility.
Oh, yeah. You can do the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a dangerous game to play because you don't know what kind of rogue variable this guy is. But at the same time, I fucking get it. If you're law enforcement, I get it. And no one's going to be able to talk about that. So the stupid people of the world, Carrie, her ilk, the people online start to try and find connections. They find all these webcams down. They don't know how to read. So they don't see the warning that says we're updating the website.
Yeah.
It's going to take a bunch of weeks.
Yeah.
Cause it would take a lot of weeks.
It would take a while.
If you go and find some of these goddamn webcam sites, they're GeoCities pages. Of course they should update this stuff.
No, that needs to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. They're a decade past these sites being, like, at all passable.
Like the software we use for nuclear technology.
Sure. So anyway, all this is a bunch of bullshit. But that's so interesting to me that Carrie is so unwilling to, if her version of this is true, then there are so many people who have willingly perjured themselves for no reason. Like, all of the people who swore affidavits about this janitor, all of the law enforcement people who wrote these warrants, the people who made these 39-page declarations, like, all of them are...
40 to 50,000 indictments are coming down, Dan. You think those people aren't involved?
I guess if you believe that, then you can believe anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, that's the reality of what happened in New Mexico.
It's amazing to me how escalation actually works in this circumstance, because, like, when we're dealing with Alex Jones and we're talking about normal things, the conspiracy is always they're covering up pedophiles. But in this case, when they were actually covering up, well, they weren't covering it up, but they were kind of covering it up. It has to be aliens.
But that's a lot of, but what you're sort of touching on, I think accidentally, maybe you don't even realize, is that's a lot of what the QAnon stuff is about too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these sealed indictments are weird globalist pedophile networks and blackmail operations using pedophilia and stuff like that. So that belief is there, and all these people have this false idea that all of this is coming down the pike. You gotta trust it. You gotta trust the process that's going on. It's all gonna come to light. All these people are indicted already. They don't know it. Meanwhile, we have a situation here.
Do we really need them?
We have a situation here where there is a outright dude who is distributing child pornography in a government building.
Yeah, that's bad.
And Carrie's like, nah, that's cover up. That's just the cover story.
Right.
That's the cover story.
But
in reality, that's what's going on.
I get why it's super disappointing for them, though, because it's just a janitor, you know?
Totally.
Like, if it was the head of the solar observatory, then they got that big fish and they're gonna, all science is based on pedophilia.
Well, it's because they love movies. They love the sort of story that gets told from just overarching fiction.
Yeah.
Whereas, actually, I mean, if you wanted to tell this story in one of those ways, it would be very easy to do. This would be a great episode of Law and Order.
It's fascinating.
Well, it's fascinating because of the misunderstandings.
It'd be a great episode of Law and Order?
SVU. All right.
Get
Odafin Tutuola in there. You make this work.
All right.
So, but the thing that makes it, like, compelling.
So you're telling me that this observatory looks at the sun?
Who looks at the sun? There's all these kids out there. They're looking at the sun.
That's how they get them.
They're called solar gleaners. So, I don't know. That wasn't great. But a way to make this story more compelling for Carrie, if she wanted to, like, actually look at the reality of it, there's a conspiracy you could go down. I'm not interested in going down it because I don't think it's worth my time.
And no, of course not.
But the janitor was there because his parents owned a contract with a bunch of places. So there is...
What? So there actually is a conspiracy theory story to be told here?
I mean, if you want to stretch for it really far, yeah.
Yeah, but fucking throw it in there.
But that's one of the reasons that he felt so protected in his career there. And maybe one of the reasons why he didn't do what you thought, which is run.
Right.
Because he's working there under the auspices of this powerful contract that his parents... company has
with
a bunch of other locations, probably a number of government contracts and stuff like that, whereas he is just working at this one facility.
Right.
So there's a decent chance that he felt entitled and felt bulletproof or something like that. I think that would be far too much for us to assume.
Yeah.
But if Carrie wanted to weave something that falls in line with the QAnon beliefs, she should go that angle instead of it being
a
cover-up of something.
For sure.
Because it's all a lot of bullshit. Anyway.
Underrated, if from our consulting firm, this is going to be like the first rule. Underrated option. Bail and run. You know? Like there's so many times if you had just really committed to bailing and running, you probably would have been fine.
I would say it won't be rule number one, but it will be in the handbook.
It will be in the handbook.
In the handbook, the rule won't be just run. It is like,
I didn't say just run. I said it's an underrated option.
It's not even that it's an underrated option. It's that it is an option that is available to you for a while that will not be available right. eventually.
There's a narrow window where you can.
There's an expiration date on running, and you need to be aware of that.
There's always a countdown. Our consultancy firm. There's always a countdown.
Well, the thing with running is there's a time where you can run, like the wind. You can, like you were born to run.
Oh, yeah.
Springsteen style.
Right.
You can run freely. But then there'll be a time a little bit later, if you wait too long, you can run, but it's going to be a fight. You might have to, like.
Somebody's going to get cut in half and you're not going to go anywhere.
You might have to
you're
try.
You're
going to
stay in the same place.
You might have to launch your car over a barricade or something, but you might be able to run. And then a little bit after that, there will be a time when running will not work.
Not be
you
an
will
option.
Get tackled on your way out of the house.
Oh, yeah.
So be aware of that, villains. I guess.
All right.
Anyway.
God, we got to get rid of our morals. That's what's been holding us back this whole time.
Oh, well. I'm okay with that. So in this next clip, I think, not positive, but I think I've done a pretty good job of explaining to you what happened in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And now Carrie has some talking a little bit more about the sun.
Simon Parks also had information about this. In addition, my source and Simon Parks' sources, and you can watch my interview with Simon Parks that happened in a couple of weeks ago in September if you want to get the story straight from him as to what his sources were saying and what my sources were saying and how that basically is a corroborates the data, that there was also some ships close to the sun that were being seen by the solar observatories, their cameras, were affecting the frequency and or possibly, according to Mark, attempting to trigger what might be a solar event. And this is also something that my source was alluding to.
Oh, no.
A solar event, Dan.
Look at this. Look at this corroboration
here. Should I put it on my calendar? What's a solar event?
Quinceañera.
Quinceañera? that's a holiday at best.
It's an event. Usually celebrate it while the sun's out. I don't know. They're talking about spaceships trying to trigger a mass coronal event or something like that.
That's what
they're talking about.
Yeah. Sure.
Right. That's why they closed down the solar observatory.
If you have a spaceship that can harness the power of the sun to create a coronal event, you probably have the technology to do stuff on like a way more local level that wouldn't destroy a solar system.
Oh boy, that'd be more
productive.
I'm just
saying if you can do one or look, if you have the power to launch a nuclear weapon at somebody, you probably have the power to not launch a nuclear weapon, but still do enough damage in like a targeted way.
Right.
Instead of like a destroy the earth way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Once you've reached that level of achievement, it's sort of implied, and maybe it's not 100% always this case, but it's implied that you have reached that category of attack.
Right.
There's other things. You have other options at that, like, stage, that level of the pyramid.
Holy shit. We were totally going to make the sun explode and kill all of you, but we didn't even hear of the wheel. When did you guys invent that shit? You guys are crazy. We're going to be buds.
Yep. So, look, she has Simon Parks coming in, more or less confirming stuff that a secret source told her, and Mark Richards is kind of like, I can't talk about the sun, but wink.
Eyebrow waggle very intentionally.
Exactly. So that's a lot of confirmation for her. She's like, basically, this is absolutely true. I've got these fucking liars on the same page.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So something is going on with the sun. You better believe it.
I think you can reach the conclusion there's definitely something going on with the sun that they don't want us to see. One of the things Simon said about it was that they were trying to step down the frequency. And he actually said the good guys were trying to do this because the sun affects the consciousness on planet Earth. And it is rising too quickly, apparently, by their estimation. And I'm not sure how this could be the good guys thinking this.
That doesn't make any sense. It's rising too quickly.
Maybe it's a certain faction. And so they are trying to interfere with that, at least temporarily, I'm told.
Well,
the sun is rising. All right, guys. Hold on.
Hey, Jordan.
Hold on. What? The sun is rising too frequently?
No. The frequency is rising too quickly. Because the frequency of the sun affects the consciousness of people on Earth, which I guess is like some sort of dumb space poetic way of discussing seasonal affective disorder or something. I'm not entirely sure.
Do they mean the frequency of the light itself?
The frequency with which you get sun? No, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about some sort of electromagnetic band or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a neutron star frequency, but maybe. it requires a certain frequency to like support life. It can't be like a red giant or something along those lines.
Fair.
But come on, guys. Come on, guys. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about?
You heard the
Dan,
clip.
What are we talking about?
Walk yourself
What are we
it.
Talking about?
I don't know. I don't know either.
I'm trying to science this, and it's not happening.
Well, no, it's just a bunch of nonsense. And even Carrie's sort of manifesting that sort of reaction to it. It's like, I don't know why the good guys would say that the vibration's going up too quickly. We want to get to a higher vibration. Maybe there's factions within the good team.
Sure.
Just trying to make sense of all this.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's all just remnants of trying to make sense of this bullshit story about the closing of the solar observatory.
Right.
Along with these webcams being down, trying to connect the two of them and create a coherent narrative out of it, which is what Simon Parks is in the business of doing, which is what Mark Richards is thrilled to do for Carrie when she comes with these questions for him.
It's fascinating that when Carrie is confused, there are only two ways to go, which is either she's confused because it makes sense, or she's confused because I am way more confused than is in humanly possible.
But a lot of the stuff that, like, when you're confused by hearing her stuff, a lot of that stuff could easily be ironed out if you just spent some time in these stupid internet communities. So, Jordan, in this next clip, we get another little bit of a bullshit story that Carrie's been going on about for quite a while. This is another one of her big space narratives that, unfortunately, actually, we can talk about.
Okay.
There is a relationship to the recently lost satellites, and there were several that were lost, that we lost our contact with. They weren't, they weren't demolished. They were simply, they went offline, so to speak. And there seemed to be a sort of war with the satellites going on, in which some satellites we gained control of and some we lost control of.
Sure.
So that's related to...
Because this is a giant intergalactic game of Risk.
Yeah. And to her, that's related to this shutting down of the solar observatory that's somehow involved with these satellites and stuff like that.
I thought that was Eddie Page and his ilk.
Well, hold on.
All right. I'm
Carrie
sorry.
Keeps pitching the story that we lost contact with multiple satellites and it's some sort of weird chess game. Risk
yeah.
game, as you
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the reality paints a very different picture. The first instance.
It's just a pedophile somewhere.
Oh, no. The first instance that is of interest is what we covered back on the Eddie Page episode where this first came up. There are strong indications that Russia's space program was engaging in space espionage and that they were maneuvering their satellites into restricted areas to eavesdrop on other countries' satellites. This is the piece of news that most closely matches up with the timeline of Eddie and Carrie's conversation. But, interestingly, there's been some satellite news this last year that's really interesting that they might be misrepresenting. Firstly, in April 2018, India lost contact with one of their satellites after something went wrong with one of the engine firings meant to raise it to a higher orbit. Most likely, this is a result of something mechanical going wrong, as it was the second satellite-related failure since 2017 for the Indian space program. Which, by the way, is low-key an awesome space program.
Really?
Yeah. In February 2017, they set the record for most satellites put into orbit from a single rocket with 104.
No shit!
Yeah, that's 104.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, set the world record, India.
Now, I mean, on the other hand, space junk is an awful thing that's going to eventually come back to bite us in the ass. So there's that too.
They also won the Asian space race to Mars in 2014 for a ridiculously cheap $73 million.
No shit!
Compared to NASA's $671 million that it took for them to get to Mars.
Wow.
So India has a really great space program, but they have lost a couple satellites over the last few years. It's just something.
That's reasonable though. If you're tossing out 104 in one space one spacecraft, yeah, sure. Of course.
So second, there's the here's the name of this. The acronym is IMAGE, but the name of the satellite is the Imager for a Magnetopause to Aurora Global Exploration Satellite.
That happens to a lot of women around 60, 65.
Sure. Yeesh. It's called Image.
They go to space.
It's called Image for short. Image was launched in 2000 by NASA in order to study the planet's magnetic field and did just that quite well for 5 years before NASA completely lost it. They had no idea where it went, and though they tried their best, they couldn't reestablish contact with this Image satellite that they shot out. Then, in January 2018, an amateur astronomer named Scott Tilley was out looking at the sky, searching for other satellites, when what should he find but the transmission from Image, the satellite that had been missing for 13 years.
Okay. Now I assume it had gained sentience by this point and it became that dude's friend and they started talking back and forth and it was like, I'm really lonely up
this
here,
is
man.
A good movie.
I used to talk to people.
That's Pixar's next movie.
No, it's actually an episode of Cowboy Bebop. Thank you very much.
So Scott reached out to NASA and they got on the case and they deduced that back in 2005, quote, an event tripped its solid state power controller, which powers the transponder it uses to communicate with ground control. Filled with a sense of hope that maybe they could salvage a win from the jaws of defeat, NASA scientists...
And, of course, find Major Tom's body.
Sure. NASA scientists started trying to reconnect with Image to see if they could collect data that it would have been collecting. Unfortunately, though they were able to get little pings back and forth, they weren't able to get it to actually respond to commands appropriately because the fuse was blown. That solid-state power controller is what powers so much of the functionality of the spacecraft.
It had been 13 years. They'd grown apart. Like, it's tough. It's tough to reconnect after that length of time. It's like a college buddy that you haven't seen in forever. It's tough.
So, it ended up not working. And at the end of August 2018, around the time that Carrie and Eddie Page are having this conversation, they're barely receiving a signal at all from this Image satellite, and they announced that it's probably lost once again.
Great.
So we have a situation here where there's an actual satellite that was lost for 13 years that some guy was able to find, and then they reestablished slight contact with, but then went away, and it's possible that that's the story that they're basing a lot of this on. We lost contact with this satellite, not mentioning that we had lost contact with it for 12 to 13 years before that.
Right.
The reason that it turned back on is actually super interesting, and that is that it had a programming in it that it was going to go through a 5-year eclipse, so it was just going to automatically shut off while it was inside that eclipse.
Yeah.
So they had no idea how to predict whether or not thought it would turn back on or off because they had lost contact with
right.
it. But when it came out of that eclipse, it turned out it did turn itself back on. So that's probably why Scott Tilley was able to rediscover it. And nobody else was looking for it.
That is so fucking fun.
It's amazing.
That is so fun.
It's an amazing
story. I love that.
It's another
That makes me feel so good.
It's another great, like, mini documentary, like a 30 for 30 yeah. about this guy accidentally rediscovering his satellite that's been lost for over a decade.
Also, there needs to be, I need far more explanation before I'm willing to accept that this guy just, like, emailed NASA and was like, hey, you guys been looking for a satellite? I found it off the back of my truck.
Well, from what I understand is he started to get like transmissions, or he was receiving things from the satellite that he didn't quite understand. And so he reached
you
out.
Up?
Exactly. So he reached out to people who he thought could help decode transmissions that he was getting.
Yeah.
And by that point, the people who were working on it initially had already moved on to much other things.
Right. It's 13 years ago.
It's crazy. It's a great story.
It really is
an amazing human interest story.
That's the Sleepless in Seattle of satellites.
Also,
Sleepless in Seattle.
Jordan?
Nope.
Here's the untold story. It turns out that losing contacts with satellites is incredibly common.
What?
As is
Are you saying that space is complicated and weird and could happen at all kinds of different things?
This is discussed in the Slate article you can look up. Quote, it's surprisingly easy to lose a satellite worth millions.
That is a title.
Yeah.
That is a fucking title.
If you really look into it, every year there are stories about a bunch of satellites that just get lost or we lose contact with. And not just we, other countries too. Like I said, earlier in the year, India had that satellite, the second of two within a year and a half that they had lost. Russia lost contact with a couple of satellites earlier this year. Suez satellites. It just happens. It's part of the difficulty of space. Like
I'm assuming that they don't want to, like, nobody wants NASA to come out and, like, announce every satellite that they've lost, because then you're going to be like, well, they fucking lose satellites all the time.
But those articles will be in Space or the Smithsonian
of
these publications.
It'll be somewhere.
It'll be there. You can find it, and you can find explanations for what happened. Oh, second rocket misfired or X, Y, or Z.
But if you want to go into that, like, the ultimate answer, like, if you're interviewing the head of NASA and it's like, how did you guys lose this $1 million satellite? They're like, dude, space is fucking hard. And are you shitting me?
And this
you try and send up a goddamn satellite, assholes.
And that's why a space program is super expensive, because so much of the sunk costs of that.
Like,
you just know, oh, sometimes this is going to... Sometimes it's gonna go great.
Yeah. The math we do is on a level that you could never, ever, ever comprehend.
Yeah.
And the math we need to do is on a level higher than we can comprehend. And we can comprehend some fucking math, dude.
Yeah. There's ultimate variables that are completely uncontrollable.
Exactly.
So anyway, that is what happened with satellites this year. I can find no evidence of the stuff that they're talking about, but that doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Every time we do one of these episodes, I inevitably wind up forgetting what we were talking about.
Yep. Turns out there's something is rotten in space Denmark.
There you go.
As we find out in this next clip.
We did have the help of the Pleiadians, who helped give us the code to take the satellites back, the ones we were able to take control of. And that is something that coincides with Yeti Page information, as well as Simon Park's information. So we have three, confirming that information at this time. Mark does not see a return of Nibiru. He does not see an upcoming invasion of Draco in the near future.
Well, that's nice.
Contrary to the predictions of Eddie Page.
Suck it, Eddie Page, you fucking piece of shit!
Uh-oh.
Mark Richards confirms that you're a fucking asshole, you lying piece of shit!
Uh-oh.
You racist mother- I'm not gonna say racist, cause I'm kinda racist too.
Uh-oh.
But fuck off, Eddie Page!
Uh-oh.
Ouch.
Uh-oh.
Cat fight!
Again,
liar fight!
Again, all is not well in Denmark. I'm gonna figure out that quote one of these days. But
don't worry about it.
It turns out, trouble in paradise. Eddie Page.
Turns out Denmark is paradise.
Mark Richards.
Uh-huh.
Do not see eye to eye.
Not surprising.
I think Mark Richards might be a little threatened.
Yeah, right?
Eddie Page is rising to prominence. No, there's no Draco invasion that's going to be coming. Nah,
this fucking guy.
All that stuff he's saying, I don't know.
Can't trust
a
goddamn word out of this racist mouth.
But you know what? I think that
now,
maybe...
look, I say the N-word all the time, but this guy.
You're acting,
where did that voice
come
from?
You're acting like he's from Chicago.
What
you're
voice
acting like
is
he's
that?
From the suburbs.
Where does that voice come from?
South suburbs of Chicago. look, Mark Richards is probably a little bit worried about his place as the throne
yeah.
Of Project Camelot whistleblowers. But that's not the only thing he has to worry about.
What's that?
He's got trouble on all sides.
He does say we're in a very bad position at this time due for a number of reasons.
Surprising!
He has been messed with a great deal, and that his, I don't know if it's his daughter or his granddaughter, and I
they
was
got cut
unable
in half.
To confirm which person, but someone in his family was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor, so his family's having a very hard time right now.
I mean, that sucks, but don't try and pretend that's someone messing with him. She's trying to present it as like someone gave this person a brain tumor. That's awful.
That's, I mean, I assume that Mark himself presented that as the angle there, right?
Maybe.
Like that seems like
I'd be willing to bet that he just brought it up and Carrie editorialized in the
you
sense.
You think he could have just been like, "Hey, you know what? Let's cut out this whole bullshit for just a second, and I want to make a real human connection with you. My family is experiencing this, like." My daughter has a brain tumor.
You can even take a step back from this.
Yeah.
Because Carrie mentions that she went to the prison with Joanne. So it's possible that Joanne gave her that information.
Oh, no!
We don't even know where the information necessarily comes from, but we do know that Carrie has called, she has said that her Bell's palsy was a scalar attack.
Right.
So we know that that's something that's within her worldview.
Right.
So it's possible that she just got this information and she has created that narrative.
It's not necessary
that Mark is saying, they're trying to attack me by giving my daughter or granddaughter a brain tumor.
This is the exact first moment that I have ever thought that Mark Richards has an actual family.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Right?
I didn't realize that he had reproduced.
Yeah, that seems odd.
But, I mean, I guess he was out of prison.
Yeah.
He was, like, 20-something when he went to prison.
Could have happened, yeah.
Yeah, he could have had a kid.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
Isn't that weird?
Could have had conjugal visits. He could have had a kid while he's in prison.
I don't know. Are those even real?
Conjugal visits? Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Actually, when I was looking up the rules for visitation and stuff like that, there's like...
Fuck all you want!
No.
That wasn't on there?
No, but like for people who are married and for people who have families, it's even possible for like you to have family come for 48 hours and stay with you to have like a holiday for like various holidays. You can have, I don't know if that's true for all prisons,
but it's definitely
true for Mark's prison that they do have a program where if you get approval and everything, people can come and stay with you, obviously not in your cell,
but in like a separate place for 48
hours for you to celebrate a holiday with them.
That's really good. That makes so much wrong, but I like that.
A guy got cut in half, but you can celebrate Christmas.
I don't know. Yes. When you start talking about the prison system, my first thought is abolish it, and then my next thought is, I have got nothing. I don't know. How do you figure it out? Don't ask me.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know.
Me too. My first thought is let's fucking stop this.
Yeah.
And then every thought after that is confusion.
Well, if we don't do that, then what do we do? And if we do that, then what else do we do?
If A, then B games.
Yeah, exactly.
Get off track so fast.
Yeah.
What is the definition of humane treatment?
Exactly. Isn't that right?
Because it's so different for every different person. Like, what is valuable and what means something to you might not be the same as it means to me.
Right.
So if we create a prison system where you're trying to create a humane environment for everybody, what would be considered humane to you wouldn't probably be the same as to me. We have various predilections and quirks that are things that are super important to you. Like, for me, I think it would be awful to be in prison and not be able to take a bath. Like,
if I was in prison for
30 years or something like that.
Yeah.
If I had to be alone for 30 years just with books and something like that, I wouldn't be happy about it. I obviously would probably be there if I did something to deserve it.
Yeah.
But I think it would be inhumane if you made me shower that whole time. I love a bath.
You love
it would
a bath.
Be incredibly difficult. But for you, you probably wouldn't need a bath. That wouldn't even pop up in your mind.
I mean, I would think about a bath from time to time, but it wouldn't be a need.
It wouldn't be something that was like, fuck.
And then you have to ask yourself the question of, like, to what extent is prison isolation versus punishment? You know, like, you have...
And where does that intersect?
Exactly. Yeah. We've talked about Anders Breivik. Like, how is it that Anders Breivik has an infinitely better living situation than a guy who was caught his third time for weed possession, you know?
I have bad news also about Anders Breivik.
Has he not been murdered 300 times? Has anybody cut him in half?
In my looking more into Glenn Beck.
No!
In the aftermath of the attack that Anders Breivik carried
out. I don't want to hear this information.
He referred to the victims of his attack at that camp as being like Hitler Youth because it was a political youth camp. It was very, very disgraceful.
Great.
So, hey, there's an intersection with Alex.
All right. All right.
Anyway, let's get back on track, Jordan.
Kill him.
Let's get back on track.
I'm sorry.
Kill him. Mark appears to be unimpressed with Eddie Page.
Eddie Page is a piece of shit.
Not a piece of shit, but he's like, this whole warning about the draconian invasion, that's nonsense.
Right.
Like, look,
I don't judge him for his racism, I'm on that tip too, but come on, he can't be pulling this shit.
So he's unimpressed with that. In this next clip, Carrie brings up another one of her, newer sources, I guess, and we'll see what Mark thinks about him.
I did talk to Mark briefly about the scientific paper that Paul Price wrote on warp drives.
By the way, that's the janitor who invented a warp drive.
Gotcha.
Who didn't.
However, he's going to have to mail me more information because we didn't have time to go into it in detail.
Why can't he female
Mark did
you
respond
more
saying
All right.
That it did not contain enough specific equations and the formula was too general. He did say he would send me a better analysis via mail.
Oh, shit.
Ouch. Shots
fired.
Mark Richards coming out hot.
Shots fired on this janitor who's created a warp drive. Mark Richards like, this is too general. There's not enough equations here. By the way, that's not a valid criticism, but... Cool.
I mean, it's probably a valid enough criticism in the world we're living in.
Totally. But
like,
I like
you didn't think this through is a valid criticism to everything that any of them have ever said.
But I like this trend that we're seeing that is Carrie's met some new weirdos.
Yeah.
And Mark is not into it.
No. I enjoy it.
But he also appears to be, I mean, we can only hear this from Carrie's retelling of it.
Liars of Vacaville Prison. That's our new Bravo show.
Oh, God, that'd be great.
Oh, that would be
fun. He seems to be coming to it not from a place of like, fuck these guys, but just a calm, confident dismissal of them. Almost like a just it's alpha behavior in the like pickup artist world.
Carrie,
you know, it is
Carrie,
just.
I made you
right.
Suck it to all your
Thomas Friedman?
Oh, you're gonna get a lot of stepdads. You're gonna get a little stepdads. They ain't your real dad, baby.
I could tell you about the warp drive. This Paul didn't invent that shit. He's a fucking janitor. Not enough equations. Eddie Page thinks that the Dracos are gonna invade. Fuck that noise. He's gonna have more information about why that's bullshit here in a little bit.
All
but
right.
Before then.
Okay.
Carrie's gotta editorialize about her trip to the prison.
Okay, here we go.
Where she has met,
she's got feelings.
She met his roommate, or I guess cellmate. And
I like the way you said that.
Yeah.
Roommate. She met his dorm partner.
Right. Her analysis of this is like so confounding to me.
Okay.
He does have a cellmate at this time who is a relatively young
Randy.
Man who has a scientific background apparently. And he is, also very tall because I saw him in person. Which I found very interesting.
Why is that interesting?
Whoa, what?
Why is
what?
That interesting?
Hold
that he's
on.
Tall?
What?
That he's tall?
Wait. Are you just attracted to tall dudes? Is that what's going on here?
I'm not sure.
I don't want to reduce her to
somebody
with physical assertions, but at the same time, being tall is not interesting.
That phrasing...
Unless you think he's an alien because he's tall.
No, but here's the thing that I think she was trying to express but did so super poorly. She introduces the idea that he has a scientific background,
right.
Then says
he's very tall.
And then she says, I found that very interesting. That, based on English pronoun reference, is referring to the fact that he's tall.
Yeah.
Not the fact that the other thing that she mentioned earlier, that he has a scientific background.
Right. Or you could combine the two and then
those
say,
things I find very
say,
interesting.
Say, yeah, yeah.
All
saying
that I find interesting.
Oh, okay. So he has a science background and he's tall?
Mm-hmm.
Humans don't do that.
No. In prison, his roommate happens to have a scientific background. I find that very interesting. also he's tall. Yeah. That would be one way of expressing
it.
Or being like, he has a roommate in prison who has a scientific background. He's tall. Such a person, being his bunkmate is interesting to me.
He has a tall roommate who has a scientific background. I find that interesting.
There's 100 ways to express this. You chose the one wrong way that makes it sound like the only thing
I
want to
fuck
in.
A tall guy.
Or I'm interested. I didn't think he liked tall guys or something like that. I don't.
Mark Richards has expressed a preference to me in the past. No tall guys in his room, and I find this very interesting.
He has the sexual version of a Napoleon complex. He has a Napoleon fetish. He only goes for the squat. I don't know. The way she's expressing it is very, very confusing.
It's very wrong. And however she's doing it, unless she's doing it the way that she's saying she's doing it, it's wrong.
She doesn't ever clarify at all. She just mentions that the roommate is going to have to look at these warp drive papers also.
All right. You got to do it.
So in this next clip, we get one of those rare glimpses.
He's gonna have to tape them up to a higher level though on the wall.
Probably.
That's why it's interesting that
Super
he's tall.
Yeah.
Mark can't even reach the level that he needs to put those at eye level.
Here's what we're not talking about. He's 8 foot Raptors. Four.
Now that I would find very interesting.
He's one of the giants of the
Mark Richards
the Old
has
Testament.
He has a roommate who has a
he's one of the Elohim,
and he is also the tallest human being ever recorded, which I find very interesting. I agree.
You need to be more specific. So this next clip, Jordan, is one of those rare instances in these, like, a couple of clips we've had have been one of the very rare instances of Carrie bringing up something about her space bullshit that I can actually look into and tell you, like, here's what she's talking about
for sure.
X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Here is one of the other branch of the rare bullshit in these Mark Richards interviews that she does, where something is said that is clearly code. That relates to our real world in a way that, like, they're just talking about the real world, but using aliens. Mic down for this. See if you can cut through the code.
All right.
I think you can, but I just don't want you to scream immediately.
All right.
Mark also talked about the Greys, how they sort of report to the highest bidder and that there is a selling out. Many of the journalists out there right now are alien human hybrids and have been influenced by the Greys. And so they are obeying the deep state and the dark side. And because they are basically kind of soulless and or have a lack of emotional feeling. So they don't connect with humanity.
Boy, you're just a slight push away from the Judenpress. You know, you're real close to this. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? All the press are gray aliens? That's what we're doing?
Oh, man. We don't get a lot of news in here, but I'll tell you right now, I love it when Saudi Arabia murders a journalist.
I would love to hear his take on that. Unfortunately,
Good
she went
stuff.
Before that. This is all like reporting from before that. So we
from
don't
when?
Have, I think she went like 5 days ago. I think.
He's been dead for over a week.
Yeah, I know, but the reports were initially that he was missing.
No, I suppose that the reports were initially that he was missing.
Oh, also Carrie doesn't care about the real world.
But if you recall on our first episode, the day that he went missing, I was like, the Saudi Arabians murdered this guy. It's not a hard conclusion to jump to, because they're all about murdering people that they don't like.
Carrie doesn't care about the real world.
Fair. Okay. So just, All journalists are doing
gray aliens, probably soulless. They've been
why?
I mean, that's just an
what
old,
is he doing though?
That's an old trope.
Yeah, but it's not like he has an intimate relationship with the breaking news services anymore.
Do you think he has a close relationship with neo-Nazis in prison?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You have brought up a very good point, Dan, one that I cannot ignore. And
do you think that neo-Nazis in prison don't think that the Jews
the
run the media?
Press. Dan, if there's one thing I know about neo-Nazis, the free press, top of the list.
I've been very like...
So long as it's white and no other voices are allowed to be around.
Like the last times that we've talked about Mark Richards, I've been very resistant to like talk about the idea that possibly he's fallen in with
a neo-Nazi
gangs
group?
And stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when I was looking into it, his prison, and found that like guy dissected organs missing story, I was like, yeah, there's fucking murder gangs in that prison.
Oh yeah, for sure.
There's a very decent chance if he's been there for 30 years or in that prison and other institutions,
right?
He has become acclimated and institutionalized in a way that he probably does run with a gang.
Yeah.
Like we like to imagine this scenario where it's like, he's just some sort of weird, dumb, crazy monk that lives in prison, and Carrie comes and visits him, and he says,
"I never
stupid
viewed
shit.
Him as a monk, but
I meant that on a very generous way. Like he just sits around and like comes up with his narrative,
ridiculous,
bullshit.
Yeah.
He prepares that for whenever Carrie or someone else comes, and he can tell them about it.
Yeah,
and the reality is, on a day to day, he probably is incorporated with some fucking bad dudes.
We've all seen CNN.
So when we hear Carrie coming in and talking to him about the media, and he's expressing it's all gray aliens, they've all sold out, they don't even have souls,
yeah,
they've lost touch with humanity. Yeah. It's really tough to hear that and not think about other historical parallels.
It's like if you and I'm not going to say that I know every journalist who's a gray alien, but if you gave me like a roster in picture format of, let's call it journalists from one company, right? And have all their pictures and kind of a situation, I would be able to draw bullseyes over certain members of those organizations.
Or like that one in the house who Stars of David on all
their
pictures.
Yeah, and it might be, there might be like a single unifying thing that they might have, and it's because Jews are in the media. But that's only because the Jews are gray aliens. Not all Jews are gray aliens, but all Jews are bad. Wait, did I say the quiet part loud?
I mean, that's like, to me, when I hear that clip, that is so clearly just the David Icke reptilian equals lizard equals Jews kind of thing. Like the gray aliens that he's talking about, maybe not every single time he brings up gray aliens, that in that clip is very clearly deeply entrenched with anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's Mark's whole bag, but that's what he's saying. Anyway, in this next clip, we find out why he does not believe Eddie Page's narrative that there's a Draco invasion coming.
Yeah.
He said the war on and off planet Earth is intensifying. Our allies recently destroyed a moon of Draco.
Of course.
And that several races right now are given the Draco a very hard time in the Orion sector of the galaxies.
If that were true, that would be so fucking visible. So Betelgeuse is one of the biggest stars in the Orion belt, in the galaxy of Orion.
Yeah.
And it turns out that if that did go supernova and blow up,
it
really wouldn't affect us that much.
No.
It's far away enough that it wouldn't affect us. Because I was thinking, like, okay, they blow up this moon, we would fucking feel the effects.
And it turns out that's of course not.
That's not necessarily the case,
what?
Especially in the Orion constellation. You never know.
Dan. How many light years away is it?
A bunch. But
we wouldn't even be able to see it. If they were giving them a hard time as we speak, we would not know for another 15 to 20 years. Way longer than that. You and I would be dead. So all of this implies that they have faster than light communication, first off.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. How, Dan? How, Dan?
That's taken
quantum entanglement?
That's taken as red.
Yeah, you're right.
We're supposed to assume
that.
The
warp drives and all of that stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But again, no, we would have no concept of this until after you and I were long dead.
Yeah, so Orion is 243 to 1,360 light years away.
Then
so,
it
yeah,
is
so
an immediate is... issue for us that will... look, they're giving them a lot of trouble right now, and we're going to experience the after effects of that. In 1,000 years or so.
I'm going to have to take this one on the chin. You're totally right. You're totally right. What I didn't consider about space is the light year factor. would observe
12
it.
12 parsecs is
We would absolutely observe it, but you're right. It would take that long for it to become visible.
Yeah, absolutely.
To us. Fine. They maybe blew up that moon.
You got to take this one on the chin. Yeah.
Of all the things that I decided to take a stand on, This is one where I'm going to eat crow. I'm going to eat crow on this. We cannot confirm nor deny that the Raptors have blown up one of the Draco moons in Orion. We'll know in a couple hundred years.
What concerns me is that he knows.
Empirical evidence. Well, because he can remote view everything. He can go.
Even then, how do you remote view? All right.
Doesn't involve light. Astral travel. Who cares?
All right.
Who cares?
I'm gonna need more, facts? Observational facts on
need more empirical evidence?
Yeah. I'm gonna need a little bit more on that one.
Yeah, bad news.
Oh.
So in this next clip, we have that last clip where, all right, fine, I'll give it to you. But now in this next clip, we get back to exactly the same thing of like the, before he was talking about journalists being gray aliens. We can see like, kind of hear what you're talking about. This next clip, there's another weird thing where he's talking about the real world through aliens.
He said there's an interesting bit of information about the aliens who have been more or less given free rein in South America and Africa, now to expand their territories to other parts, and especially North America.
Stop.
As they have eaten so many humans.
Come on, hide a little bit better.
In those areas that they now want to,
stop it.
Expand their hunting grounds, as it's called.
So, all right, come on. Hide it a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
Hide it a little bit better than that.
It's hard not to hear the
pick specific regions of,
It's hard not to hear the specific right-wing talking points about, like, immigrant invasions and stuff like that when you hear these aliens have been allowed to hunt freely and kill and eat all humans down there.
Yeah.
And now they want in on white territory.
Yeah.
It's really hard not to hear the exact same narrative that you hear out of Alex, out of Tommy Robinson, out of all the reactionary right.
Dan,
it's right there.
Give me, let's say, two examples, one from South Africa and one from South America, where the right wing has very public talking points about how white people are under siege. Just give me two examples. I don't even need a lot, Dan. I'm sure there's no way you could find any examples of a direct one-to-one comparison between right-wing talking points and these aliens that he is describing here, Dan. This is a complete coincidence!
If it's a coincidence, it's crazy.
It's a crazy coincidence, right?
Like, if it's a coincidence that he believes all of the alien narratives that he's putting forth, and apropos of nothing, it's just like, oh, this seems to match up a whole bunch with a lot of these right-wing talking
points. Just happens to.
That would be crazy.
It would be crazy.
What's less crazy is the idea that he is kind of a pretty right-wing dude who's in prison, also a little bit crazy, and seems to express himself through a little bit of flowery narrative language.
Yeah.
And has brought aliens in to explain things away so he doesn't have to say the N-word.
Yeah.
Or any other slurs.
Man, it's so much. Why haven't the rest of white people figured out that you don't even need to say the N-word? Just call them raptoids or whatever that is.
Reptoids. Raptors are good ones.
Raptoids.
According to Mark. So, Jordan, I don't know how I feel about all that. I feel conflicted.
Do you?
Not much.
No.
Nope.
Just racism.
Nope. Yep.
Just straight up racism. There's really no conflict.
I was trying to present it as I'm conflicted. No, absolutely not.
No. He's just a big old racist that says raptor instead of whatever.
I'm not conflicted about that.
Nope.
I'm slightly conflicted about how to integrate that into the bigger picture of a lot of stuff. Like, it becomes difficult to look at the bigger picture of Mark Richards, quote unquote philosophy and worldview with, like, we keep seeing little glimpses of this stuff.
Right.
And it's not super overt, but if you know the tropes, they're there. And it does really raise the question of, like, how much of this is intentional on his part? How much does he know he's playing into these tropes? So that's the part that I'm conflicted about.
This is a huge question that I cannot believe I have never asked you before. Mark Richards went to jail.
84.
It was a big news story in 84.
Yeah.
Right? There has to have been an interview with his dad.
The Dutchman?
There has to have been some sort of, can you give me a comment? Right? He went to the trial, or maybe he didn't.
I don't know.
Maybe the Dutchman was off planet. But there has to be, there has to be some sort of, surface level comment that the Dutchman has made.
Not necessarily. There's a decent chance he was already dead by then, like his real dad.
Oh yeah, that's true.
There's a chance. I mean, who knows? There also is a chance that he was an absentee dad. He didn't know him. We don't know. I don't know enough about Mark Richards' actual real life.
Right, right.
To know that, like, it's possible that he was abandoned by his dad. That's
right.
One possibility.
I mean, just looking at his story and working backwards, chances are a strong father figure wasn't necessarily, or a positive father figure wasn't necessarily part of the whole equation.
Or it's even possible that his dad was on the up and up and what have you, and after he very clearly committed this murder, every news organization that wanted a comment,
he'd be like, "Hey, fuck off! Right. You know, my son just murdered a guy."
Right. I mean, because if at that point it had been years of a deteriorating relationship between the two, and things not going well, and then there's a murder. You don't want to play out in the news, "I tried to help him." You want to live your life.
Especially not if you are part of the secret space program.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's a
so that's two forms of corroborating evidence, according to Carrie Cassidy.
There's a real world version of his dad as a person who would not appear in any texts.
For sure, for sure.
But then there's also the Dutchman, who also wouldn't appear in any texts. So both.
But there's a real world version that he does.
Both, no matter what the evidence is, it could prove either. So who gives a shit?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, in this next clip, Jordan, he hates Eddie Page. Not hates, but he's not into Eddie Page. But it turns out that there's a reason that he doesn't like Eddie Page. It's not just that Eddie Page is saying there's going to be a Draco invasion and Mark doesn't agree with that. Turns out, empirical evidence is what you seek.
Regarding Eddie Page, he made a special point after I left to contact me to let me know that he's a very good remote viewer.
Sure.
So either he took a look at Eddie Page or he got information about him. He says that he is heavily programmed. He also said that if he spent 10 minutes with him, he could tell if he was truly Pleiadian. Mark was married to a Pleiadian. A lot of people don't know that, but it is in the history of the interviews I've done with Mark in the past, so you can go back and look that up.
That is true.
I did go back and look that up because I was like, wait, I thought he was married to that raptor princess. I thought that was why we decided that. Turns out he was just banging around with that raptor princess.
He's banging around with the raptor princess.
He was married to a Pleiadian. So that checks out.
Yeah, no. Actually, I think I might remember that one for some reason.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so that
way to go, Carrie. You got two guys confirming your story here. Yeah, he did say he was married to a Pleiadian, which Joanne was like, "Oh my God, this is salacious."
Ah.
I thought I was his first wife.
Ah, you weren't, Joanne. What else has he been lying to you about? I'm going to go with everything.
He's been truthful about everything except for the fact that there were real raptors at Dinosaurs Walk the Earth.
Oh, that's right. He was lying
about
that.
And at Jurassic Park. Jurassic World, excuse me.
Yeah. How dare you say Jurassic Park? Come on.
No. Those raptors were fake. In Jurassic World, they were real.
And yet Steven Spielberg captured their essence perhaps better than the real ones could.
It's possibly true. Sometimes art is a better facsimile of life than life itself.
Indeed.
So I don't know, man, Eddie Page got remote viewed by, Mark Richards and he found out all this stuff. I love the idea though that he's saying, like, put me in a room with him. I'll tell you if he's Pleiadian or not, because you bring Eddie Page to that prison. He's like, nope. He's gonna say no in a second.
I really want that to happen.
God, me too.
Oh, that would
That's
be beautiful.
That's the logical escalation of this.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it has to.
I mean, for things to move forward, Carrie has to insist, all right, Eddie, I have some questions about your story.
Right.
The only way that you're going to be a consistent piece of my show in the future is if you agree to come with me to see Mark.
And Mark gives you the stamp of approval.
Right. That has to be the next stage.
Now, as part of our consulting firm,
the answer to Eddie Pudge is run!
No!
You don't even have to run at this point. You just gotta brainstorm. You gotta come up with a reason why you can't.
That's it. Oh, no. It turns out, escalate the feud.
Great idea.
What do you mean? Are you trusting this Mark Richards guy?
Bullshit. You're wrong.
Okay.
We already talked about this.
Yeah, that's
what he has to
right.
do is he has to go heel.
You're
he
right.
He has to become the devil. He has to become like, yes, absolutely, Mark is right. I am not who I pretend
right,
to be.
Right, right, right.
And then still let himself be interviewed.
He still has to go. Yeah. Then you get the great stuff.
If he turns heel and is just like, I'll talk to you, but like, I have some demonic information for you. It all still works.
Right.
It all still works. There's no reason to change anything.
No, you're right. Our consultancy firm, from where I was thinking, was still based in the real world. I forgot that we were going back into WWE territory.
You were still hoping for also a situation where Mark and Eddie would be on the same page.
They gotta be. All right.
There's no way. There's no way for that.
They're
both too ego driven that each want to be alphas of the story.
Yeah.
They can't coexist with each other. They have to be on opposite sides.
Yeah.
Counterbalancing each other. Eddie is the sort of evil dark brother. Mark Richards disagrees with him.
Every Christ, there is an Antichrist.
He is the noble one who is doing 30-something years in prison and will be there for the rest of his life.
For a crime he did not commit.
For the crime he didn't commit because he is so good.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Eddie Page hasn't committed any crimes, but he is fucking bad.
He has committed so many crimes.
Sure.
And that's why he's free.
Probably war crimes.
They're protecting him.
Anyway, I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just Carrie talking about how elites have made a deal with the devil.
They always do that.
Like, yeah, that sounds like Alex, but very superficial.
That's normal.
Not important.
I mean, in a certain sense, they did, and they always do.
Well, she's
and
talking
they always
about
the, will.
She's talking about the literal devil.
Right.
So this next clip, Jordan, we run into a sort of issue where Carrie at the beginning of the episode has said that Mark is still a captain in the Navy and secret space program.
Should have gotten a promotion by now.
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah. Should be a corporal.
Yeah, at least.
Sergeant at arms. Or should be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. It's a difficult question to answer why he would still be an active member of the service.
Yeah.
And be in prison and all this stuff. But thankfully, Carrie.
Oh, did she clear that up for us?
She's got the aloe.
Good.
That will soothe that burn in this next clip.
Mark is in a rather delicate position because even though he is trusted by a certain group of the secret space program, he is very close to the Raptors, and this keeps him in sort of this gray area of suspicion simply because of his relationship and, in a certain sense, control of the Raptors, which makes him a real force to be reckoned with.
Holy shit. He controls the Raptors.
Wait, what?
Hold on.
Huh?
He controls the Raptors.
No, I don't understand how that makes sense at all.
He controls the Raptors. We didn't know that before. This is a huge deal.
What do you mean he controls the Raptors?
She buried the lead. He controls the fucking Raptors.
Okay. Let's just play this out.
Please.
Let's just play this out.
Please, like, I would like you also to go, like, start from the bottom.
I'm really trying here.
Because that's a new piece of information.
All right. So, Raptors, we're still saying that the Raptors are good, even though by association with Mark Richards,
yes,
that suggests that they are in fact bad,
and
that the Reptoids are good.
If we take our context out of it, knowing what we know, and just look at what they're presenting, Mark and the Raptors are good. So let's operate on that for now.
So why does Mark Richards have control over the Raptors? Is it because he fucked a princess one time?
I think so. I think that's a part of it. That's definitely a part of it.
Right.
He's like a James Bond of aliens.
Or Captain Kirk, I guess. I'll accept that. He's Captain Kirk.
From the original series where he's fucking around with everybody.
You fuck an alien, you gain control of an entire species.
That's
standard operating procedure.
Smooth out allegiances, alliances.
Right.
With sex play, you sport fuck some aliens, and all of a sudden, it's like, you guys, we're on the same team.
So now he exists in a strange in-between stage where some parts of the secret space program accept that this man is trustworthy. We can believe in him. But other parts of the secret space program.
Maybe the newer guard.
Right. Because they're unfamiliar with the Dutchman.
From the last 30 years, he's been in prison. Maybe they've been indoctrinated by the demonic forces within the secret space program.
What about the 30-year-old guys in the secret space program? They don't even know who Mark Richards is.
No.
And then you're going to tell me that Mark Richards controls the Raptors? Who we can't even be sure. Look, they'll eat us for fucking chocolate, right? We can't be sure they're the good guys. So you're telling me that even though Mark Richards,
who now controls the Raptors.
We now know he does control the Raptors.
That, which Carrie means, said that which explicitly. Means every single time a Raptor eats a human being for a bar of chocolate, that's with the consent of Mark Richards.
Or it's a demonstration of failure of leadership. One of the two.
Yeah. There's no win on this one for Mark Richards.
No. But it's not necessarily that he ordered the hit. It could be
no,
that
he
can't
didn't
keep
order
his boys
the,
in line.
It doesn't mean that he ordered the
no,
hit.
No, no, no,
it
no,
just
no.
means that he's got a very lax view of, you know, it's like he's Eric Prince. He's the Eric Prince of the Raptors. Sure, you rape and pillage and commit war crimes.
Yeah.
But as long as you're doing what I need you to do, baby, we're going to be fine.
It's interesting because now you have sort of a mercenary space situation, which is tough.
I'm going to go with Mark Richards has abandoned the secret space program and has instead gone into private contracting work.
Much like
using
Prince.
using his relationship with the Raptors.
They're
in
his backup.
Order to yeah. And that's the only thing that's keeping him from being cut in half in fucking Vacaville prison.
The hypothetical threat of raptor aliens showing up.
Yeah. See?
I would say that if I were in prison and I ran into him, I'd be like, I'm going to give him a wide berth.
Wide berth.
I'm going to be like, you talk to aliens? Have fun. Have fun, buddy.
You are an interesting cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like a transfer to wherever is not you are.
I will
are.
Be in my cell. Please don't come near me. Yeah, man, it's weird. It's super weird. It's very difficult to suss out what this means in terms of like, universal politics.
Yeah.
Mark Richards controls the Raptors.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Does he just control the Raptors here on Earth?
Dude,
or does he control Raptors?
All of them.
All of them.
But that's why the secret space program has like a tentative restraint with him. They respect him, but also they're worried because this other alien race, he's on board with them to an extent that like he's so awesome that he controls all of them. Much like I would assume like it's, I don't know, the relationship he has with them is similar to I was trying to come up with a Star Wars parallel.
Now,
the only thing I can come up with is like Han Solo's the only one who can talk to Chewie. You know, like that.
That's not true.
It's not?
No.
No.
Eventually Luke can talk to Chewie.
I don't like those movies that much.
How dare you?
Anyway.
How dare you? Leia can talk to Chewie. Everybody can talk
not
to Chewie. Not everybody can talk to Chewie.
C-3PO but can
even,
because he knows
even,
thousands
even,
of languages.
Even Lando can talk to Chewie.
Yeah, everyone can talk to Chewie except the audience, which is frustrating.
Yeah, that is the biggest problem with the Star Wars films. Correct, Dan. I apologize. It was, the context never made it clear what Chewie was trying to say.
I want subtitles. Listen.
How about you go to Kashyyyk and learn the language, Dan?
So Jordan, in this next clip, Carrie has a decent question to ask, and that is about the real world.
Yeah.
And that is like, hey,
that's a bad avenue for her to go down.
Do people in the military know who you are?
The answer is no.
I asked him if the generals around Trump know who Mark is and if they are read in. And he said some are, some aren't. He said General Dumford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, is in the know. And by the way, Simon Parks also referred to this general, saying that he was instrumental in backing up and making Trump's administration possible. Some of the generals around Trump really don't know anything about the secret space topic, and they don't know who Mark is. I said to Mark that sounded very dangerous, and Mark agreed.
Of course he agrees.
Yeah, it would be...
no matter what she said, he would agree.
It would be really fascinating if Mark's... Actually, you know what? I'm going to go back to Knowledge Fight consultancy firm.
Okay.
Say you don't agree. Say that it's actually a good thing
that
some
know.
Of the generals don't know about me. Because
interesting.
That
Let's
keeps,
play this out.
That keeps my cover under wraps. If all the generals know about me,
I'm in
that's
too much
a
danger.
Dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Think about how many of those generals
some of them don't
are
want
be...
me. Exactly.
They're working for the Raptors.
Exactly. Yep. So you only want the guys who are in power to know, like General
Dunford.
Which by the way, and
Joseph Dunford.
I don't necessarily know if this is a thing that reflects negatively on me or reflects negatively on the world we live in.
Is he still the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
He is, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you can understand why that is a concerning thought, because how many different, chiefs of staff have we gone through? How many different, it's reasonable to not be sure if you know anybody in a cabinet level position.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's been as long as we've been talking about people who reference him.
Well, that's nice.
I don't know if he's been in, as the Joint Chiefs the entire time, that we've been doing this podcast, but every time that the Joint Chief of Staff has come up.
Yeah.
He has been it. And the only reason that this come, is even in my memory is that there was that time that Alex had Zach on, his fake intelligence source, Zach.
Yeah, exactly.
And he couldn't come up with Dunford.
See, that's why
He couldn't come up with the name.
That's exactly what I was thinking of,
yeah.
Where I was like, well, am I even sure, since Zach can't even come up with it, and he's a high-level source.
Right, he's not.
Who do we even know?
Dunford is the greatest prop in that, toolbox, basically.
Yeah.
And Zach couldn't come up with it. And thankfully, Carrie has Google. So does Mark.
I don't know if he has Google.
Bing. You can find Dunford on Bing. At this point, the podcast turns, I would say, messy. We have some more clips to get
our through. Podcast or the show?
Her show. Project Camelot turns a little bit messy.
All right.
At this point, we have things that we disagree with by virtue of science, by virtue of evidence, those sorts of things.
Some of those things, though, we can only know roughly 100 to 1,000 years from now.
Well, one of those things, yes.
Yes.
But the rest of it's kind of like, this is bullshit. Also, right. It's kind of funny.
Right.
At this point, we kind of take a turn into a situation where now the narratives are just going to be this, I don't even know why you're saying this. I know that it's what Mark is telling you, but this makes no sense.
Regarding Elon Musk, he's been indicted recently, as you may know, and apparently...
Not enough!
Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, has been given the rocket deals that the rocket deals that were part of Elon Musk's stuff.
That's not great.
What? Is that how that works?
So Mark Zuckerberg, now that Elon Musk has been indicted by the SEC and Tesla still exists, now that Elon Musk has been indicted, Mark Zuckerberg, who has not a rocket company to his name,
are you sure?
Social media network.
Hold on, what?
He now gets the rocket deals that were a part of Elon Musk's, stuff.
All right. Elon, you created a company, built on perhaps the sham idea of futuristic technologies.
But did involve rockets.
You better
believe
it. I'll be goddamned if you haven't been doing your hardest, right?
You shot that car with a mannequin into space.
You did great.
Yeah,
we're
all
loving
that.
Now.
That was a great publicity stunt.
You got indicted with, at the most, a slap on the wrist. So yeah. We can't do this
for
with you
anymore. For something you very clearly did.
Oh, for the crime that you committed that you should probably do time
you
for.
You committed fraud.
Elon, you... lost a lot of people a lot of money very quickly.
Who aren't named Elon Musk.
Who aren't you.
Yeah.
And that's a crime.
Yeah.
In the world that we live in, that's
it
a crime.
It sucks. It's a real shitty thing.
However, in the world we live in also, you're rich, so nobody's going to bother you. Mm. But we can't trust you with these rockets anymore.
No, those rockets go to Mark Zuckerberg.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give these rockets... to the guy from The Social Network by Aaron Sorkin.
Is he
a real guy or was that a fictional movie? I'm gonna need you because
fictional.
I don't believe Sorkin's dialogue. Look, I love everybody masturbating to his liberal bullshit dialogue, but I'm gonna be honest with you, doesn't sound like the way real people talk.
Sure, but let's imagine the most nightmarish conspiracy version of Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
That version does,
rockets.
That version does not involve rockets. That doesn't involve the infrastructure that is required in order to have rocket contracts.
What do you mean? Are you saying that the Facebook campuses aren't building rockets?
No, I'm saying that's a totally different business. What Mark Zuckerberg is into is stealing your information and selling it to the highest bidder. That is not the same business that is involved with actual like, to build a rocket, you need...
It's tough.
You need a lot of different departments. You need a lot of specialized scientists, and Mark Zuckerberg is not in that business.
No.
So the idea that Mark Richards is pitching to Kerry, look, Elon Musk, a guy... With a rocket
right.
company.
Right. Who committed a crime.
Got indicted.
That requires
and
jail
so
time.
So now, because he's out of the picture, which he's not, Mark Zuckerberg now gets his rocket contracts.
Yep.
Ludicrous.
I do like the worldview, though.
I do, too.
Of every billionaire is also Scorpio from, is also Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons.
Like, irregardless
of how you made your money, you are also Scorpio. Like, you're also an evil supervillain.
Well, there's that. But then I also like the idea that no matter what, if you're one of these people that we're taught to be afraid of, these figureheads of businesses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
One of them goes down, you are, like, you might be varsity
hold on,
at Facebook.
Hold on, Dan.
You are the sixth man
are
at
you,
Tesla.
Are you waiting to say, Hail Hydra? Cause I think that's what you're about to say.
More or less. You will easily slide in as now the CEO of Tesla.
How hard can it be?
It's nonsense.
Look, if you know how to market a social network, you know how to build a rocket. That's science.
Science.
I read that.
It's bad science.
I read that in Science Magazine that's about science.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah.
In this next clip,
he really said that though, right?
Oh yeah, he did.
He really said that Elon Musk, because he was indicted, all of his contracts now went to Zuckerberg.
Not all his contracts, his rocket contracts.
Just his rocket contracts went to Zuckerberg.
And then let's hear the end of this really quick, because okay. I feel like it bears hearing again the way that Carrie peters out at the end of this because she has no specifics.
The rocket deals that were part of Elon Musk's stuff.
Couldn't have even come up with portfolio. I would have accepted portfolio. That would have sounded like you knew what you were talking about.
Better than stuff.
It's better than stuff.
You know, it's just Zuckerberg gets his stuff.
Hey, we'll give his stuff to Zuckerberg. Move on.
We all know that's how the SEC works.
I wish I could find my Southside Suburb Chicago voice again.
No.
Apparently it's not coming up.
I'm glad you can't. So, in this next clip, we all know that, Mark Richards has already said that he's remote viewed Eddie Page.
Right.
And that he could smell a Pleiadian, immediately. He'd be able to tell.
Which is,
for sure,
kind of racist in and of itself.
Nah, he's married to one, he knows. Which is also racist as a justification. So,
it's okay for me to say the P word because I married one.
Right, basically. So in this next clip, though, we get this really interesting way that Mark is trying to really invalidate Eddie Page. But he's doing it through like secondary kind of thing. Like the way he's using language is sort of like,
Raptor told me he had a small dick.
Nope. Mark Richards is trying to do an if A, then B, if B, then C. And Carrie isn't really picking up on the syllogism.
Okay.
Mark said, because he was married to a Pleiadian, he knows quite a bit about them. He does not believe Pleiadians can be mind controlled. Now, in Eddie's case, he said he thought they could be mind controlled if they allow it.
Okay.
And one does wonder why a Pleiadian would allow themselves to be mind controlled by humans.
Yeah, you would.
And this does open the question as to which races are programming humans at this time.
It does open that up. So the only possibilities are what you said exactly, that Eddie Page is a Pleiadian and he is chosen to become brainwashed.
He's going undercover.
Probably not. Or he's lying about being a Pleiadian because he is mind controlled. That's established. He is mind controlled.
He is mind controlled. So everybody agrees.
If he's mind controlled, then
except for him, which makes sense.
Right.
If he denies it, that's only corroborating evidence to the fact that he is mind controlled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have both avenues that are possible. There's the two avenues, and both are Eddie Page is a fucking suspect.
Yeah.
And don't trust him.
Can't trust him.
Which is obviously super advantageous for Mark because it's like, I'm protecting my fucking turf.
It's also super advantageous for Carrie because fuck Eddie Page.
Sure, he's become too much of a liability with his video game shit and his racism.
Right.
That, like, I would much rather, now speaking as Carrie, I would much rather have my narrative with the greatest whistleblower in the world who's in prison that I can completely control the narrative
exactly.
of. Exactly. Even if he says the N-word when I'm talking to him, I don't have to report that. Uh-huh. I can just whitewash and be like, oh, okay, here's what he's saying. Oh, my God, isn't this interesting that it's so close to exactly what I believe? So, obviously, the two people's interests that are best served by invalidating Eddie Page are Carrie Cassidy and Mark Richards.
Which may be why Carrie could have expedited this visit, so
or just not done it, or the second Eddie started to smell bad, just be like, nah, I'm done with this. You could have done that, but you're like the sirens.
Yeah.
You hear someone saying that they're an alien, and
you're drawn to the coast.
Fucking ship is going to wreck.
And it eats you alive.
Yeah. So in this next clip, because he was married to a Pleiadian.
Right.
Mark Richards has some ways to tell who is a Pleiadian.
His dick.
Some of this is very reminiscent of other characterizations of people.
Oh, no.
One thing that Mark did say that helps you tell a Pleiadian is that they don't like to look you directly in the eyes. They have trouble responding to everyday chat with appropriate micro expressions, and they tend to copy or imitate our micro expressions during conversation rather consciously. And he used an example that humans lick their lips sort of involuntarily, even during a conversation or something, but that's something that the Pleiadians would never do, and that they would then adopt that behavior purposely, and so it would look quite odd. And so this kind of is a giveaway on being able to tell someone is Pleiadian.
I mean, I guess that's better than where I thought it was going. Like, instead he was like, you can never trust anybody on the autistic spectrum, as opposed to where I thought he was going, which is like, they don't like to swim and they like watermelon and fried chicken. Like, I'm better off thinking that he hates, I don't know why.
You're on the wrong side of this.
Yeah.
These are people who are good. The Pleiadians are good.
Oh, okay.
So he's not saying anything negative about this.
So,
but it is
so Pleiadians,
weird.
So anybody
because
on the autistic
you are
spectrum.
Correct in terms of like the sort of broad characterizations he's making are the Asperger's type spectrum, the autism spectrum that he's describing, like people who are averse to eye contact, social cues being misunderstood.
Right.
That sort of thing is what he's described. I think he read an article.
Anyone who's not neurotypical.
I think he read an article on that sort of thing, and he's like, oh, that's what Pleiadians are, which I actually feel pretty good about. Because the Pleiadians are heroes in that world. So the fact that he's not, like, taking this neuroatypical group and demonizing them, he's saying that that is a way to tell who are the good among us.
I mean, at the same time, though, that's...
It's accidental, but it's positive.
Yeah, but I don't know. That gets into the stereotype game where it's like,
no, you're right.
Is it positive? Like when
it's othering and saying somebody, that sort of behavior is alien.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Whenever somebody's like, oh no, I'm not being racist towards Asian people. They're just better at math. And you're like, no, you are.
No,
I get
right.
that
you're
expressing
right.
it as a positive connotation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not being a complete and total racist.
No,
you know?
You're right.
Like he's definitely like. I saw this movie, and I'm gonna tell you right now. This Pleiadian, he kept saying Wapner. It was crazy. Like
you're right. It is like that, but for the bar that we live
fair.
It's
it's better than the other. It's better than the alternative. Again, because he could have
Dracos.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could have taken the idea of, sort of autism spectrum, traits and applied it to a negative, evil alien race. And he didn't do that.
Right.
So it's like, it's not great, but we gotta recognize the slight win.
I guess I'm not a fan of anyone.
No, because we live in the, well, because we live in the real world and we know that, like, I mean, Mark is just wrestling with stuff.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit he's clearly trying to work out through this interview series with Carrie. So Jordan, in this next clip.
Yeah.
I know that earlier in this show, you were expressing an idea that the Raptors killed people for chocolate, which has been brought up by Carrie and Mark in the past.
And has been proven true.
Well, apparently. I think that you're foolish, to think that that is a reason not to trust them.
Is it?
It's explained in this next clip.
Okay.
You know, one thing he said was an interesting comment. He said, the Raptors, Mantids, Pleiadians, and Canonians are loyal to us just like in World War II.
Sure.
And he says that our allies, especially in deep space, have really stepped up and taken up the fight with Draco. And he has never been double-crossed by a Raptor. And even he used to be suspicious of them because they used to eat people, but now he feels they're totally loyal.
So calm down. They used to eat people. Mark Richards, he was suspicious about that. He's grown through it. And now with Jordan,
no,
it is
no.
time for you
Head
to
shake.
Grow through that.
Head shake. No.
Back in the past, Mark Richards was just like you. He heard these things that they like to eat people, and he was like, no, not cool, not cool. But he's seen their track record. They're loyal. Just like in World War II.
Yeah.
They got our back, these Raptors.
Yeah, yeah, Russians.
Now they admittedly ate people for chocolate. But that's in the past. We all have a lot of struggles in life. And one of them is my allies, who I ostensibly control.
Of course.
Eat people.
Yeah, that is an
issue. That's tough. That's
tough. It can be an issue.
It's super advantageous for you to be like, look, I know that's kind of one of their things, is, you know, whatever. But you got to look at the bigger picture. They just blew up a Draco moon.
Right.
So.
Hey.
Are you going to sneeze on that?
We never would have stopped Napoleon if the Russians hadn't had a lot of land.
Or World War II.
Yeah, we never would have stopped Hitler if the Russians hadn't had a lot of land.
Right. And been a nice target for him. So, I don't know. There's nothing good here. Jordan, we are now entering what I will say is the new Mark Richards game.
Okay.
Which we should have been playing all along, quite frankly.
All
or right. maybe even the new Project Camelot game.
Okay.
Which is, I know that every single time we do an episode that involves space, there will be a new race of aliens that comes up.
Oh, okay. Now, I like this game.
Yeah.
I like this game.
What
do we got?
I have a clip that will introduce a new race of aliens.
Okay.
But I need for you, Jordan, to come in and tell me what do you think that race of aliens
Ooh,
will be?
Ooh, this is a good question.
Now, I will do this.
Uh-huh.
I will tell you that I will answer 5 questions about what this race of aliens is. And you cannot make a guess before you ask those 5 questions.
Is it a mammalian species?
No.
All right. Is it a reptilian species?
I actually can't say.
You can't ask me these things.
Get rid of that question. I'll answer the question. Right. That's not one of your 5.
All right.
It is considered a reptilian species, but the name would not lead you to think that it is. The name is not a reptile. But the people
that's
think
the most
of them
confusing,
as reptilian.
That's the most confusing
I
thing that you
that,
have ever said to me.
But I have to be clear about
that. All
this.
Right. What sector, what sector of space are they from?
Not clear. And even if I answered that, it would not help you.
Okay.
2 questions down.
All right.
Number three.
All right.
You need to really just start asking concrete questions.
Okay. Are they evil?
You bet. Number 3.
Okay, you bet evil.
Super evil.
All right. So we have established a non-mammalian reptilian species that you wouldn't expect to be reptilian.
The name is not reptilian.
From an undefined sector of space that is evil.
Very evil.
All right. So we've got that established.
Yeah.
So let's narrow it down.
You have 2 questions left.
Narrow it down. We're narrowing it down. We're narrowing it down. Can they breathe underwater?
I honestly don't know the answer to the question, but I will say based on the name.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you the. Okay. You have one question left.
All right. I have one question left.
You should. If I were you, I would have asked way different questions.
All right. Well, yeah. Obviously, that's why we aren't doing you talking by yourself. The show.
That's a fair point. Last question, Jordan.
All right. This reptilian species that you would not immediately assume is reptilian based upon their name, mm-hmm. are they indigenous mm-hmm. to a certain continent? And if so, what continent is that? If further so, is that an island continent that could be explained away as evolutionary? Anyways, continue.
This is a three-part question that I'm going to reject.
Dude.
It's not going to help you. It's All not right. going to help you.
All right.
Now you have to give your guess.
All right. I'm going to go with, can't be dragons, so I'm going to go with salamanders.
So I also asked Mark about the dragon moths. Because moths? I wondered if they were attacking the Draco as well.
Dragon the moths
dragon
are not
moths
reptilian.
Are also enemies of humans.
Of course.
So,
they're moths.
It's interesting. And if you want more about the dragon moths, the Ashiana Dean Voyager books go into this race as mm. well as others.
What now?
Highly recommended.
Are they?
And Mark is aware of the dragon moths, said he did not know what their involvement is at this
so
time.
So then he's
with
not
the Draco
aware of the dragon
or,
moths.
The battles with Draco.
He knows that they're in play, but he doesn't know what they're up to.
Oh, do you mean she said, do you know about the dragon moths? And he said, I know about them. I don't feel like they're part of this.
It's pretty crazy that you were like, you did say dragon right before, like, you know, that
well,
was.
Well, yeah, but I just, like, it can't be.
The dragon moths. But that's
what
why.
What do you mean a dragon moth?
Well, they're considered.
Also, that was a very misleading answer.
What?
You said that they were a reptilian species that wouldn't
I
be
considered.
I didn't
say that.
You motherfucker.
I didn't. I
play the tape back.
What I said was they are considered to be a reptilian species based on my research. Looking into an encyclopedia of aliens.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
Dragon moth is not a reptile.
Okay.
So the name itself right. would not lead you to, like, if you were
all
asked,
right. now
is
that
it
makes
a
sense.
Bug, I would have said you're on the right track.
Exactly.
That sort of thing.
I got it now.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Because if
you know what? It's my fault.
It is. It is.
This whole confusion has been my creation all along.
So the Ashiana Dean books, the Voyager books, I looked into this. These are these books that talk about, like, all the same shit that Carrie talks
sure,
about.
Sure, 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 sure.
And here's a little fun fact about them.
Yeah.
You can buy a used copy of the paperback for $75 on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. They must be good books. Though.
Yeah, it must be great.
And it must
be
amazing.
Basically a textbook.
Yeah. They've been in print. They've been in print for so long.
Hot property.
So many people own them. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to get rid of them.
Yeah. So I looked up the dragon moths, and they are like a conceived race of aliens that that exist. I found it
very Mothra style.
I found an encyclopedia of alien races that actually tickled me so much.
Yeah.
It's like fucking E. Gary Gygax. It might as
well be
the Book of Monsters.
No, it's the Book of Monsters.
It's nuts. Dude, there's the Bootleians. These are reptilians from the Boots system.
Well, that seems, at the very least, that's direct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's also blue people.
Just blue people?
The Cherokee tell of a race of people that were blue-skinned, that they came upon when
no,
they entered the lands of
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Bingo. That's not an alien
those
race.
Those are just people from Kentucky.
That's the Appalachians.
That's literally like, oh boy, inbreeding is bad.
The aliens. That's crazy. I like that there are dragon moths now. We got mantids. We got reptilians. We got
spider
raptors.
Leadership.
We got spider leadership. We got dragon moths now.
Of course.
It's crazy. This,
gotta throw them in there.
This world of bugs is just increasing. It's not, it's never not bugs.
I don't
understand. It's always bugs.
I don't understand why it is that ants aren't number one on the alien species, jump to list.
I feel like
ants
they're in
are
there,
fucking incredible.
When you talk to like Hollow Earth people, they definitely talk about ant people.
See, now
they're
that,
in there. They're
see,
in
now
the
that
mix.
That makes more sense to me than any of this other shit. If there was a Hollow Earth I would assume that ants were behind it.
Oh, of course. They dig
They know what the fuck is up.
Yeah. They're already there.
Yeah, they're the true rulers of this earth.
Yeah. So, congratulations, dragon moths. You are now part of our Project Camelot cosmology. Now, Jordan, I've been holding back a little bit.
Yeah.
I should tell you that Carrie Cassidy ends up saying something at the end of this episode, in this next clip, that leads me to believe that she is keenly aware of how much she's probably misrepresenting the things that Mark Richards tells her and all of the other people that she talks to. This is something that she should never have said.
That what I'm doing with Mark is trading info, and in some ways it's a lot like the sort of All the President's Men, I think it's called Deep Throat, where you basically, you say something, and if he nods or he says nothing, it means you're right. But that's kind of what goes on between Mark and I sometimes.
Not good.
And it is a way that I use to get information that's, I guess, of a more sensitive nature. And I am sharing a lot of background information with him, when I ask a question, sure, so that he understands where I'm coming from.
Directing him to give me the answer that I want to hear.
The superficial answer. This is a dynamic that goes on with whistleblowers in general.
No, it's
that,
not.
If you show that you know a certain amount, then they will come and sort of meet you halfway.
Nope, that's a spy
movie. If you
movie.
Act like a complete idiot, then you won't learn anything.
Nope, so that's not how that works.
So this is sort of an interesting dynamic I wanted to make people aware of.
If you come
really
in,
not. It's really not.
If you are talking to a con man and you come in and try and meet them halfway, they will use all of the information that you have presented to inform their answer.
Yeah.
That's exactly how con men work.
That's called being a whistleblower.
It's called cold reading.
You
that's
know how when every... you blow whistles, the first thing you do is you let the whistle make all the noises that it needs to make first.
Right.
And then you try and recreate that noise back to the whistle, almost as if you're communicating in the whistle.
Some sort of a recording of a whistle.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I mean,
you're a minor bird.
What she's expressing there, like, first of all, at the beginning there, when she's talking about, like...
Before you finish that sentence, let me just say, of all of the podcasts that we have ever done, I think that might be in the running.
It's damning.
For the dumbest thing any human being has ever said.
Well, because it so undercuts her entire philosophy. It undercuts her entire life's work.
It undercuts the ability to understand words in general.
Well, because she starts with the idea of, like, I talk to Mark and sometimes he doesn't respond. And then I take that to mean that I'm right.
Right.
Which is that's a flawed system.
No.
That's no good.
Now, I'm not saying that this is a direct.
Jordan, ask me a question.
One-to-one comparison.
Ask me a question. Any question.
Okay. What do you think is going on with Saudi Arabia right now? Do you think that it's some kind of a power grab by a ruler that is unwilling to accept any kind of criticism? All right. Do you think that maybe what's going on is a ruler who is unwilling to accept any kind of criticism decided to overreach his power because really he was kind of just wanting to test how far his power would reach, you know? Like, can he do something this publicly egregious on the world stage and still get away with it? Okay. Now, I get what you're saying.
This is evidence that I know about this and I don't want to talk about it. That's bad. That sort of level of reasoning is terrifying.
No, like I said, that's the dumbest.
That's terrifying.
No, that's the dumbest thing I think we've ever. You can't.
It's so bad.
You can't live in a world where people think like that and that's okay.
Especially when the person who's not answering the questions is a dude who orchestrated a murder.
Exactly.
And has been conning you for years.
I know. Oh, so that would be terrible. We should elect him president.
Then the second aspect of it, which is even more damning, which is crazy that she said it all within 1 minute, is that she's like, Well, what I do is I give context to the questions before I ask it, because I don't want a superficial answer, which is what a con man needs in order to answer the question.
So
if
when
you
I
want
go...
a real question, if you want a real answer from somebody who has quote unquote remote viewed information, you need to have a control group. You need to have a completely non, bastardized set of information.
Yeah.
You need Kerry Cassidy to show up and say nothing to Mark, and Mark say, here's what I know. Now, if in that case it does match up with what Simon Park says, still don't care. But it's better than when Kerry is saying, here's what Simon Parks believes. I respect him. He's really great. Eddie Page is kind of an asshole. I'm not sure if I really like him. And then what he spits out is, oh, I kind of agree with what Simon Parks is saying. I'm going to sort of go along with that. Eddie, I remote viewed him. He's you said that he was being mind controlled. He definitely is.
Dan,
she's giving up the game.
To an astrologist, I always provide them with all of the information of what's going on in my life, and I give them a clear indicator of what it is that I hope continues to happen in my life and what I hope stops happening in my life. And it's so wild to me how accurate they are in their predictions of what I want to happen in my life.
So it's crazy.
Being something that happens.
So it's crazy.
And what I don't want it to happen in my life being something that not happens.
It's so weird. And I generally leave feeling pretty good.
Insane. Yeah. It's insane that they even charge me for this knowledge that they just have.
I feel pretty good. Now, granted, I paid $200, but I feel great.
It's almost criminal that every time I go to a psychic, they ask me all of these questions, and then whenever I answer them, they give me the answers I want to hear, Dan.
This is legit.
That is bananas.
This is what she just said in that last clip is 100% how confidence games work.
It is the exact... Like, you couldn't be more...
It's the definition.
It is literally the definition of how to run a con.
Yep.
She just said.
You give information.
She just said, I am running a con on me. That's what she just said.
Yep. I'm allowing this con to run a con on me.
So who's really running the con? I don't know.
Who cons the con men?
The con?
I mean, Carrie's making money off it, so she's not like she's, some innocent victim.
No,
but
she's doing all right.
Yeah, not it's great.
Like, it's like if you had a psychic in prison.
Yeah.
And you just
like Miss Cleo was in prison.
Yeah, right? And you just used her to sell your money.
Yeah.
Like, or to sell your
if
product.
If we could find some sort of confirmation that Mark, which I suspect very highly, is charging her to do these interviews.
Yeah.
If we could find that, then it would be much more concrete that she's the victim of this. But at the same time, even if that's the case, she's still making hay out of it. She's still making money. Like,
yeah.
There's, like, when I listened to this, I had to cut out all of it, but there's like, I'm recording this from the YouTube video, and there's like 8 ads for an hour video.
Right.
Like, it's highly monetized.
Yeah.
She has tons of ads playing throughout all of her videos.
Frankly, to be honest, I'm actually, this is a weird thing for me to say, but for Mark and Carrie's relationship, I feel like Mark is a real content creator and he is not being paid to the level that he deserves.
I mean, if we want to talk about
If you want to get like who really invented Superman, okay? Like, I'm just saying.
If we want to talk about like Mark should form a union.
Mark, I mean, Bullshitters Union.
Yeah. They should start a union where they demand a living wage from
Harry. And podcast guests deserve to be paid for their appearances.
Agreed, which is why we don't have any guests. Can't afford that shit. Jordan, at this point, I think we get a really clear picture of what's going on. We have Kerry has accidentally revealed that she leads questions and Mark yes ands them.
Once again, we are dealing with the person who is the weakest link of the propaganda chain.
Yeah. So at this point, Kerry is doing this live because she tried to record it, not live. She tried to do it, and the file disappeared. She thinks that that's some sort of nefarious interference by
aliens. Yeah. She has Bell's palsy. Whatever.
No, it's that she... Probably.
Her computer has Bell's palsy, whatever.
Yeah, who cares? It's tech glitch.
Yeah.
It's happened to us multiple times.
We've lost an episode or two.
It's not the aliens.
Yeah.
So because she's doing it live, there are a bunch of people in the stream, and she gets one question that I think is the most important question that has ever been asked on Project Camelot live stream. Here's her response.
So let's see. No, Mark Richards is not lying. So, you know, let's see.
Okay. The question was just, this guy lying to you?
Is this guy lying to you?
No.
Because you making me think about that is, I'm going to keep talking.
That's unpleasant.
Oh my God.
It's not great to think about.
Oh my God. I don't want to think about it.
Anyway, Jordan.
Yes.
We've come to the end of this Mark Richards adventure. I think we've learned a lot. Do you understand kind of I think that maybe you can appreciate when I said at the beginning of this episode, the first time I listened through it, I thought that it was kind of like it's not as salacious as a lot of the times because there's not those like big reveals of like, oh,
yeah, I suppose the first time we encountered
the raptors, that was big.
You're dead into it because you've listened to hours upon hours of it, whereas I've only listened to the clips that you've curated for me, right?
True.
So even at my most Project Camelot infused self, it is 1/100th of what it is you deal with.
Damn.
So when you listen to this episode, you're like, bah, he's saying all this kind of shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about light years? Like that kind of a thing.
Sure.
So there's that.
Yeah, but even from my end, like, going back through this, I think there's so much in there. I think there's a lot.
I'm just missing Minerva. I think
cares about Minerva anymore.
When Alex disappears.
Mark has lost that from his, narratives.
When Alex disappears into the ether, our next podcast needs to be called Missing Minerva, where we just talk about where we think Minerva is right now.
We should do a bonus.
And whether or not she's doing okay.
We should do a bonus series where it's just you and me for an hour sitting around talking about what we think might be happening with Minerva.
I'm going to be honest. It would probably get more YouTube viewers than...
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed this trip down bullshit avenue.
Which is so unusual to what we normally do.
We'll be back on Friday with a nice hot Alex Jones episode. But until then, you can find us on our website, knowledgefight.com.
Can you? What if you wanted to find us on a social network, Dan?
One on Twitter. We are there at knowledge_fight.
Name another social network.
Facebook.
Name a smaller subsection of that social network.
I don't like how you describe it that way, but we have a group.
I don't know how else to describe it. You know what I mean?
I would say a cozy home within that social network.
See, but it's kind of like a social network that's hosted by a larger social network that's mining all of our data for profit.
That is still there. But it's called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant.
Indeed it is.
You can find us there. We would appreciate it. It's a lot of fun there over there.
We're also on iTunes. Go to iTunes, download, subscribe, etc.
All sorts of fun stuff.
Tell your friends.
Please.
Click the support the show button on any of the places where you can find us.
Promote us all over the internet because we ain't going to do it. We're not on Reddit.
We're bad at it.
We need your help.
We're tragically bad at it.
And we appreciate all the help that we've gotten from all of you. It means the world. Though we might not be as receptive as we need to be to honor this relationship.
Yeah.
We would never kill you. Although, we do.
We don't make guarantees on this podcast, Dan.
We know one guy who has probably killed a dude.
Yeah.
And that's Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.